we can start. It's about 3 o'clock. So compose your mind. Then we pay respect to Buddha, Kuan Yin, and all the worthy ones. Then after that, we will get Sister Lee to lead us in the Mahayana chanting of the Heart Sutta. Okay, we will pay respect 3 times. Then after that, Sister Lee can guide us along.
Thank you, Bharatio. We start with Namo Bunsi Sijia Moni Fo. 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 Namo Guan Si Ying Pu Sa. Namo Guan Si Ying Pu Sa. Namo Guan Si Ying Pu Sa.波耶婆罗蜜多心经，观自在菩萨行深波耶婆罗蜜多时，照见无蕴皆空，度一切苦，而舍利子，舍不异空，空不异色，色即是空，空即是色，想行识解如如是。舍利子是诸法空相，不生不灭，不垢不净，不增不减，是故空中无色，无受想行识，无眼耳鼻舌身意，无色声香味诸法无眼界，乃至无意识界，无无明意，无无明净，乃至无老死意，无老死尽，无苦集灭道，无智意，无得已，无所得故，菩提萨多依波耶婆罗蜜多故，心无挂碍，无挂碍故，无有恐怖，离颠倒梦想究竟，涅槃三世诸佛依波耶婆罗蜜多故，得阿耨多罗三藐三菩提，故知波耶婆罗蜜多是大神咒，是大明咒，是无上咒，是无等等咒，除一切苦，证实不虚，故说波耶婆罗蜜多咒，即说昼夜揭谛揭谛婆罗揭谛婆罗僧揭谛菩提萨婆诃。
萨德萨德萨德。Okay, we will now continue with the English version of the Heart Sutta. We chant together, page 1. The Heart of Prajna Paramitas Sutta.Okay, before we start, maybe I will read you the opening verse. We can recite together. Verse of opening a sutta, the page before. The unsurpassed, profound, and wonderful Dhamma is difficult to encounter in hundreds of millions of aeons. I now see and hear it, receive and uphold it, and I vow to fathom the Tathagata's true meaning. Then we will chant the Heart Sutta, the Heart of Prajna Paramita Sutta. Okay. When Avalokiteshvara Bodhisattva was practicing the profound Prajna Paramita, he illuminated the 5 skandhas and saw that they are all empties, and he crossed beyond all suffering and difficulty.Sariputta, form does not differ from emptiness. Emptiness does not differ from form. For form itself is emptiness. Emptiness itself is form. So too are feeling, cognition, formation, and consciousness. Sariputta, all of Dhammas are empty, characteristic. They are not produced, not destroyed, not defiled.Not pure, and they neither increase nor diminish. Therefore, in emptiness, there is no form, no feeling, cognition, formation, or consciousness. No eye, no ear, no nose, no tongue, no body, or mind. no sight, no sound, smell, taste, object of touch, or dumbness. No feel of the eye, up to and including no feel of my consciousness. And no ignorance or the ending of ignorance. Up to and including no old age, no death, or ending of old age and death. There is no suffering, no accumulating, no extinction, no way, and no understanding, and no attaining. Because nothing is attained, the Bodhisattva, through reliance on Prajnaparamita, is unimpeded in his mind. Because there is no impediment, he is not afraid. And he leaves distorted dream thinking far behind, ultimately Nibbana. All Buddhas of the three periods of time attain Anuttara Samyat Sambohi through reliance on Prajnaparamitas. Therefore, know that Prajnaparamita is a great spiritual mantra, a bright mantra, a supreme mantra, an unequal mantra. It can remove all suffering. It's genuine and not false. And the mantra of Prajnaparamita was spoken. Recite it like this. Gate gate paragate parasamgate bohisattva. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, we will now start the Theravada Puja. We will chant the salutation to the Buddha. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Buddhang saranang gacchami. Dhammang saranang gacchami. Sanghang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi Buddhang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi Dhammang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi Sanghang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi Buddhang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi Dhammang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi Sanghang saranang gacchami. Panatipata viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Adina dana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Kamesu micacara ramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Musavada viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Sura miraya majja pama dattana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, pay respect mindfully to all the worthy ones. Okay, very good afternoon to all. Huh? Just relax yourself, maintain some form of attention, then we can start. Huh? Okay, turn to the short notes. The 12 Heart Sutta short note, dated 13th of May 2012, 3 to 6 p.m. Okay, this short notes taken is to assist in developing a clearer and better understanding of the sutta discussed. So the first part is the recap and emphasis on the previous lesson. So I just go through with you what has been taken in within the short notes. I realize a very important understanding of what apamada is or heedfulness is, because if you don't understand this word, it's very difficult for you to train your mind to be heedful. And this is the basis of all cultivation, meditation, because the Buddha very clearly mentioned in the verse, he called it verse 21, 22 and 23 of his Dhammapada saying. These are the first three verses of this Apamada Vaga, means the section on heedfulness. And the first three verses are the most important, especially verse 21. The Buddha always reminded the monk, he said, heedfulness is the path to the deathless. The heedful never die. Whereas heedlessness is the path to the dead. The heedless are as if dead. So this is a very important understanding. That's why you must understand how to train your mind to be heedful. And what is the meaning when the Buddha say you must be heedful. So I have made a simple definition for you to understand. If you got any question, you can ask. Apamada or heedfulness means a mind that is ever mindful. The emphasis in bracket is what? Without thought. Always remember. When you are mindful, you are without thought. Because the mind, this mind that you have, your mundane mind, it can only do one thing at a time. Either you are mindful, silent within, or you are lost in the thinking, the thought process. Means you are preoccupied with what you think. When you are preoccupied with what you think, you cannot have the clarity of mind to be aware. You cannot be in a meditative state anymore. You cannot see things as they are anymore, because your mind is preoccupied with the thinking, whatever that you are doing with your mind. So this is a very important understanding. Apamada or heedfulness means a mind that is ever mindful without thought within. To cultivate the meditation as taught by the Buddha, following Dhammapada verse 23. Dhammapada verse 23 is a follow-up on verse 21 and 22. It confirmed to you exactly how through heedfulness you definitely develop the understanding to become enlightened. So verse 22 is a follow-up from verse 21. After understanding the importance of heedfulness, the Buddha mentioned verse 22. So 22, the Buddha said, for the wise one who clearly understand the difference between heedfulness and heedlessness, they will intend on heedfulness. Understand not? When they intend on heedfulness, the wise one, they will definitely rejoice in the realms of the Aryas. The Aryas are the enlightened one. So if you can rejoice in the realm of the Aryas, means you will also become Aryas or enlightened one. So it's a very good assurance. If you intend on heedfulness, you are destined for enlightenment. Then verse 23 confirmed to you what you have to do. The Buddha said, a constantly meditative and ever mindful. means if you hold on to this, constantly meditative, ever mindful, and the steadfast one. Steadfast means you hold on to this principle of constantly maintaining the mindfulness within, awareness within, and to use it to cultivate the meditation. Then the Buddha said, Nibbana in the here and the now is guaranteed. So the verse goes this way, is it? The constantly meditative, ever mindful and steadfast one, they will realize the supreme bond-free Nibbana. So this is what you need to train. Develop heedfulness to cultivate. Constantly meditative means what? Constantly cultivating the Noble Eightfold Path. Yeah. With particular emphasis on the four foundations of mindfulness. That's why you are ever mindful to develop the meditation as taught by the Buddha. So this is the meaning of apamada or heedfulness. When you are heedful, you are ever mindful to realize the wisdom as taught by the Buddha. Yeah. Then in bracket, I put, like a relaxed inner awareness that is always aware and without thought, to see things as they are, to see the reality or the truth within all of your mental, physical, and nature's phenomena. These three are very important. Well, every moment when you are conscious, your mind creates mental phenomena, anasana, in the form of consciousness, thinking, perception, feeling, reaction. These are all mental movement, anasana. All your planning, scheming, everything is part of the mental movement. So he called this a phenomena, mental phenomena. Then when you cultivate kayanupassana, there is this physical phenomena. Physical means all physical things exhibit phenomena. Like your physical body is one of the physical things, exhibit phenomena. Other physical body also exhibit physical phenomena. Then the last one is the rest. The Buddha said there is what they call nature's phenomena. Nature's phenomena like the thunder, the lightning, the wind. Everything that you come to perceive through nature's occurrences, they are nature's phenomena. So all these three is what you constantly arise when you are aware, when you are in the midst of life and existence. So in life, your mind, when it arises, it is entangled only with these three. Most of the time it's mental, but then you also can cultivate kayanupassana. That's why there is this physical phenomena. You can be aware of them too. Then you can be aware of all of nature's happening. Sometimes without moving the mind, no mental phenomena, but you're silent. The moment you're silent, all of nature's phenomena, you can come to perceive them clearly. So there is this very, very beautiful nature within you that can allow you to understand all this. That's why do not be deluded. The stirring of the mind is a conditioned arising state. The moment it stirs, it creates the mundane thinking, the mundane mind come to be. That's why you are no longer with your nature. When you are lost in thought, you become heedless. When you are within, silent, you are heedful. Because when you are silent, you can see, you can understand. You see things as they are. So meditation is very simple when you understand this basic principle of your true mind. Okay, I move on. The next paragraph talk about meditation a bit. While meditating in a formal posture, if you feel any tension or tightness or stress within your body and mind, then you must just recognize it. Recognize that the mind has been distracted. Then you release it. Release means don't fight it, don't do anything with it, don't react to it. Just understand that the mind has reacted. So you need to release it, means don't latch onto it, don't cling onto it, don't create the desire to do away with it, understand that? That's what happens when people try to suppress their anger, suppress their unhappiness. That's why suppression is not the way to cultivation. Like they say, somebody wants to make them angry or emotional, then they remember meditation, I must not get angry, it's an evil root. So what they do? They don't understand the Buddha's teaching, so they suppress. They say, I must be patient, I don't want to be angry. So you suppress. Like a smoker, a cigarette smoker. What do? They try to kick the habit of smoking. What do? They suppress the smoking. Right? They say, okay, I will not smoke. One day, 2 day, third day, they cannot tahan already. Understand? The craving is very strong. Because they suppress, understand not? They didn't develop the wisdom and understanding to see the danger of smoking. The moment you have that wisdom, you know that it's so dangerous to your health. Automatically, no need to suppress, you will stop smoking. Understand not? That is a big difference. As again, try not to smoke, understand not? Well, the thought that tell you smoking is no good, you didn't really seriously take it in. You just don't want to smoke because you think by doing that, you can kick the habit. You can't. So meditation is the same. When there is anger, you must understand anger is not you, understand? Anger is condition arising. When you hear something or see something or think of something, what happened? Because of delusion, you don't have right view, you don't have wisdom, you react, understand not? You perceive that life situation with emotional negativity. So because of that, you get angry, understand not? But before you get angry, there was no anger there. So how does anger come to be? It arises after you react, you know, through your ignorance, you know. So the moment you don't have ignorance, you don't have to react, you know. You can accept them for what they are, you know. A selfish person do selfish thing. An angry person say angry thing. A deluded person do deluded thing. They are just the way they are. So when you can have the wisdom to accept them for what they are, what they say and what they do will not affect you, understand? Then you don't have to suppress the anger. You don't have to like suppress, don't want to get angry with him, understand? You naturally have the wisdom. You just accept him for what he is. Then the mind does not stir. The moment the mind does not stir, you maintain the natural state of peace. Understand not? The inner calmness, the inner awareness born of wisdom. That's the reason why when you do not have the wisdom, you will react. You cannot cut at the feeling. All those are theory, cannot be done. A lot of teachers will tell you, last time during the early day, I always hear them say, the dependent origination. Because upon feeling, condition craving, they always say, not the feeling. Then cut at the feeling. You go and try, you go and cut. Without wisdom, you cannot cut. Understand? Without wisdom, automatic. Feeling, condition, craving. Vedana, paccaya, tanha. Straight away, ego, move. That's why at the moment of seeing, the moment of sense, the consciousness, you react immediately. You cannot stop. The only way is to develop wisdom. That's why you must have yoniso manasikara. What is yoniso manasikara? Wise attention. Yoniso is wise. Manasikara is attention. So if you have wise attention at the moment of sense experience, then your mind is in equanimity. Equanimity is upeka, the enlightenment factor of upeka. So the mind does not stir. Okay, with this understanding, I will go on, then you will understand. The moment you recognize it, you release it. Understand or not? That your mind has distracted. Then the next thing you do is relax. Always remember, just relax. When you relax, you don't stir your mind anymore. Understand or not? You don't make it angry or emotional anymore. So the stirring of the mind can end the moment you relax. Because if you know how to relax the tension and the tightness, especially if you have this ability to radiate a radiant smile, means you have love, you have joy, you have kindness, you have understanding. That's why you just smile and relax inner awareness without thought. So you just relax them. The moment you relax, what happens? Craving loses its strength, isn't it? Because it cannot condition you to become angry or emotional anymore. Because you already know this is a distraction. The moment you recognize, you release it. Release means what? Don't hold on to it anymore, understand or not? Like this one. Red hot. Let's say this cup, very hot. The moment I hold and cling, what happened? It's going to burn me and torment me. Right? So it's going to stir my emotion and make me more angry. So what must I do? I release it. Understand or not? I let things be. The moment I release, what happened? I will not react anymore. Isn't it? That's why I can accept things as they are. I'm at peace. Then I act. How do I act? I continue to relax. Understand or not? But the moment I relax, craving loses its power, no more strength. So you don't go and fight your pain, understand not? Don't go and fight your numbness and itchiness and the restless thinking. You just recognize that it has got distracted. Distracted into thinking, unhappiness, reacting, emotion. So what you do? Release it. Don't continue. Don't lash onto it anymore. Just relax, release, and silence your mind. The moment you silent, craving cease to be. Understand now? Because you don't give it any more mental energy. No more thinking. When you don't think, what happens? When you don't think, you got no fear there. No worry, no anxiety, no unhappiness there. All this comes when you think. The moment you see something, if you don't think, nothing happened yet. But the moment you think and perceive with negativity, that's why your emotions start to stir. That's why feeling get conditioned into craving and emotion. So this is the most important understanding. You must understand this. The moment you relax, craving loses its strength or power. And the relax and radiant smile method or step are very important to make your mind feel at ease, light, tranquil, and free. Correct or not? The moment you relax, you feel so free, understand? So at ease. No more tension, no more tightness. That's why this relaxation is very important. The mind will feel at ease, very light, very tranquil, quiet, and free. The training of the mind will enable you to decondition your mind from the heedless thinking. See? Now you see the importance of the mind sweeping method. You just feel, you don't think. Then you relax. Every time you feel got tension, got tightness, you relax. What happened? You don't think means you decondition your mind from the heedless thinking. The moment it does that, your mind will calm down. So this deconditioning of your mind from the heedless thinking and the grasping to sense experience, thereby enabling you to develop a deep, silent, tranquil mind with heedfulness within, naturally, via an understanding that the original mind, or originally the true mind, is already the meditative state with clear inner awareness within. So there is no need to do anything. but just relax and let things be. Then the heedless thinking and grasping born of delusion or ignorance will slow down and stop on its own via wisdom, nothing else. The mind will then return to its original state of true silent inner awareness without the thought, the ever-shining nature, which is your Buddha nature, or your true mind, will then shine forth. That's why in bracket I put there, this ever-shining nature, which is your Buddha nature, is always there. So when you understand this, you know how to meditate, very simple. But human beings don't understand this. They struggle. They struggle a lot. Like yesterday, the Saturday class, I was sharing with them. There was a new lady who just came. So I need to explain to her all this, not easy. So there was a very good analogy that I accidentally bumped into. I tried to explain to her, then suddenly it occurred to me. I asked her, you know how to swim or not? She said, yes. Oh, I said, okay. You know how to swim, eh? You know how to float, eh? Do you need to learn how to float? I asked her. What you think? Do you need to learn how to float? You don't need it, isn't it? Because your body is what? Lighter than water, isn't it? The natural state of this body is buoyancy, isn't it? As long as you don't do anything, you believe you can float, understand not? Because you are lighter than water, inside a lot of air, understand not? So, the swimmer or the trainer or your professional teacher who teaches you swimming, you know what they tell you? Just jump into the water, relax and let go, you will float. You don't believe him. But the moment you do that, you realize the body went down, then it starts to float. Then there is so much joy in it. Then you realize, I don't have to do anything because the natural state of my body is already buoyancy. When you understand this, you confidently let go, don't do anything. Then you see your body floating. Or then there is a lot of joy. So you come to realize, yeah, what they say is true. I don't have to learn how to float because my natural body is already in a state of buoyancy. It's lighter than water, isn't it? So like your Buddha nature is already there. It's ever shining. Awareness is there. Do you need to learn how to be aware? Like this buoyancy, exactly the same. You don't need to learn how to float. That's why you don't need to learn to be aware. The reason why you cannot be aware is you think a lot, understand not? Think a lot means what? Like that guy, don't believe, I don't do anything, I float. Where got so easy one? You ask, I must meditate, I must do something. So what you do? You struggle, understand? Because the moment the body wants to drop into the pool, you panic and you struggle. The moment you struggle, you stir your mind, understand? That's why you are not peaceful anymore. That's why you forgot what your nature is. The awareness is gone, understand not? You can only do one thing at a time. The moment you think, you are heedless. So don't think. But you are being conditioned into thinking for so long, understand? That's why you must decondition this thinking. Through what? Through understanding this. The mind sweeping method, just silent and feel. That's why don't underestimate what this meditation is. You don't go and think, are you all this kindergarten stuff? Brother Teo asked me to feel. When I start, they ask me to do all this. But now I advance already, I want vipassana. You go and do. It's like that guy who don't even know how to float, want to do the Olympic freestyle, butterfly, backstroke, everything. You don't even know how to float. But the moment you know how to float, all this freestyle very easy. Because when you float ready to swim, you just have to move, isn't it? Then you move already. So like awareness, sati, is the same. The moment I understand that if I don't think, if I don't allow this mind to develop the habitual thinking and reaction, I am automatically aware. Understand? When I'm aware, I can see things as they are, automatically, very easily, like swimming. I just move my hand, I move. Understand? So awareness, when I have already, I just move my awareness to whatever I want to understand. If I want to understand my mind, then I look at the mental phenomena. If I want to understand my kaya, I look at the physical phenomena. If I want to understand nature's phenomena, I observe nature's phenomena with my silent mind. Then meditation becomes so easy, so simple. Then you don't have to note here, note there, do this, do that. All these people do because they cannot decondition their mind. They cannot stop their thinking. So they use all this method and technique and skillful means to suppress the thought, to control the thought. Understand or not? They use the thought to note. Then how can your mind be silent? Understand or not? That's why finally they say what? Go beyond the words. Understand or not? Drop all the words. Why you later only drop? The moment you understand, you already drop, understand or not? Why you go and do all these things, then only finally come to realize, hey, this is all wrong. I am actually creating my own problem through the thought. Because you meditate with what? You meditate with the thought. The meditator is the thought. The thought is busy doing this and that. The moment it do this and that, you are preoccupied with your doing. So how can you be aware? Understand or not? So you see this point or not? This is the most important. That's why don't do anything. Just silent. But initially you cannot be silent. Because for the last so many years since you are born, you have been taught how to use your thought. Understand or not? Thinking. You have been reacting, thinking and stirring your mind. Doing all these, what they call, habitual things. That's why this mind has a lot of delusion, or what they call ignorance. It cannot understand what is going on. It does not realize or have the wisdom to understand that their true nature is already the meditative state. It's just like swimming. The natural state of your body is already buoyancy. You don't have to learn how to float, understand or not? You just let go silent, you will float, understand or not? Meditation also same. Your natural state of mind, the Buddha nature, already ever shining, aware. You only need to be silent. No thinking. The awareness shine forth. Then why you go and think? Why you go and do all those things? This is the most important understanding. That's why I say, don't cling on to logic and knowledge. Investigate and find out yourself. If you don't investigate and find out, you cannot understand all this. I came to understand all this because I did the meditation myself. Then I come to realize, I say, what is all these people doing and teaching? I find it so strange. I say, the moment I silent, my mind is aware. Then I realize, I cannot talk. I cannot speak and share this way. If I say, everybody will run away. Because you have been so traditionally conditioned into what? To meditate, you must have a method and a technique. Understand not? You must use your thought. Understand not? So this type of teaching cannot be given at the early stage. Because people who don't understand, they will panic. Understand not? But the moment you start to slowly, slowly develop the understanding, then we can share. Because you can understand. And all this you can put to test. You can find out on your own whether what the Buddha teach or share or what I say is the truth or not. You don't have to believe anything. You just go and try. The moment you relax and silent, what happens? You become very quiet, very tranquil, very peaceful. Isn't it? You don't have to force yourself not to think. The more you force, the worse it becomes. Understand? That's why you don't go and force, don't go and suppress. You suppress the thinking becomes more violent, more active. You cannot. You must have the understanding and the wisdom. You must wake up to that reality. Have you suffered not enough? If you have suffered enough, then you tell yourself, I'm not going to be this way anymore. I do not want to be deluded like before. Anything I see, I react. Anything I hear, I react. Anything I think, I react. No more. I contemplate, reflect, develop the three turning wisdom. Then I understand. The moment I understand, I smile. I just accept things as they are. Then my mind is free. Then I don't have to do anything. Understand? Then what is meditation? Meditation is to develop the wisdom to free. Understand? Not the doing. Understand? The doing, if it helps, maybe you use it. But the doing will not free you. Understand? It is the understanding, the wisdom that free you. Always remember. So when you reflect and contemplate, or anything that you arise through your meditation, you must develop the wisdom out of it. If the wisdom cannot come out, all the doing got no meaning. Yeah. Most important, understanding and wisdom. Okay? Okay, we move on. Huh? Second part. This one is equally interesting. That's why I say we are starting the Heart Sutta. This is very interesting now. Huh? Reversing the light. Huh? And shine within. Hui Guang Fan Zhao. So the opening verse by Master Shen Hua is very beautiful. Huh? He said, you have to reverse the light to shine within. Avalokiteshvara enlightened all of the sentient beings, thus he is the Bodhisattva. His mind is thus unmoving. Thus is suchness, understand? Not? Unmoving. That's why the Mandarin is very clear. Ru ru putong. Zu ru is suchness. Understand? Not? That's why the Buddha they call what? Ju lai fo. Understand? Not? The Buddha is the teacher of suchness. Understand? Not? Zu. Zu zu. Because this word, suchness, is very powerful, very important. So, ru ru putong. A superior one at peace. Because it says zu zu putong means what? He is always at peace. Understand? Not? Because his mind doesn't stir. Doesn't stir means what? No fear, no worry, no anxiety, no delusion, nothing. At ease. Always like that. Understand? Not? Silent, peaceful, bright and clear. Then he said, with total understanding of the ever shining. What is the ever shining? Yeah? Your Buddha nature. Right? So, with the total understanding of that, what happened? Huh? What is the next word? He is the host and the master. You remember last week? The hotel? If you are the host, the guests come and go. You are in charge, isn't it? You are the host and the master, isn't it? You should be very happy, isn't it? Very peaceful. Why are you going to get angry with the guests of the mind? Understand? Not? That's why he said you don't know how to be a host. Understand? Not? Because these guests of the mind cannot complain, or not like human being. Understand? Not? Human being come in, he said, you're what type of host? All the decoration, arrangement, all lousy. But this one cannot talk on. The guests of the mind cannot talk, cannot complain one. This type of host also you don't know how to play. You go and assume they complain. Huh? That's why you get angry with them. Huh? You get emotional with them. Because all due to your own delusion. So we go on. Huh? The first line of the above verse is very important. Because most of the time our mind dwells outside to chase after external. What are external? All the external phenomena that you come to perceive, isn't it? Through what? Through consciousness, isn't it? Your seeing consciousness. You perceive everything that you come to see. Your hearing consciousness. Whatever within the field of hearing, you perceive them. Understand? So these are all external. That's why your mind is out. When your mind is out, what happened? Lost in the thought process. Understand? Lost in the experiencing of what is going on. Then the problem with human being that is not enlightened is, the moment it is lost outside, It go and react to what it see, react to what it hear, react to what it think. It become worse. Understand now? You not only went out, you get distracted and get yourself entangled with everything that you come to experience and see and perceive outside. So that's why human being cannot be peaceful, cannot develop the silent mind to be peaceful. You cannot meditate because you are heedlessly chasing after the external creation of your mind. Understand that? Through consciousness. That's why the Buddha said, consciousness is the greatest magician. You remember? The greatest illusionist. Magician is an illusionist. Understand? Create illusion for you to see. You know how you create or not? Through this eye as an organ, you can arise a seeing consciousness. Everything within your field of vision, you created them, understand? Magician also not so powerful, understand? Everything come to be already, understand? That's why they say the phenomenal world of sight and sound. Everything that you come to perceive, the sight and sound, through your hearing and seeing, understand? That's why you are the greatest magician. Then you can smell, you can taste, you can tactilely feel, and the thought can create the thinking, the imagination. That's why it creates illusion for you to grasp and cling onto. That's how suffering comes to be. That's why this five aggregate of form and mind, you must see them clearly. It's not you. Condition arising, causal phenomenon. And the moment you grasp and cling, thinking that it is you who see, you who hear, think, smell, tactilely, taste and feel, delusion takes over. That's how you become emotional, understand? Angry, unhappy. So this is a very important understanding. I read to you again. The first line of the above verse is very important because most of the time our mind dwells outside to chase after external. The external appearances that created the phenomenal world. You know what is a phenomenal world? Through the world of consciousness. Through consciousness, you created the phenomenal world. Reason why the Buddha said under Dhammapada verse 1 and 2 is our mind is the forerunner of all things. Mind is chief. Everything arises when the mind arises. So now you understand why you are a creator, magician. Not God create, you create. Understand now? In order to understand what is going on, we need to return the mind to abide within. Understand now? So that we can be aware of what is going on within our mind. Hence, the importance of reversing the light to shine within. Hui Guang Fan Sao. Only then can we be aware of our content of consciousness within our mind. That is, how our mind are stirred by external and conditioned into clinging and grasping after external, created by your mundane mind. Via your delusion and mental aggregates of feeling, perception, sankhara or activity of mind and consciousness. You will start to understand how thought and feeling arise in your mind with every moment of sense or consciousness and how they condition each other. Because your thought condition your feeling and then the feeling when it stirs, it condition more negative thought, understand not? How your thought with its conditioning means wrong view and all those things condition your feeling and then how this feeling become craving and emotion. That's how you stir, understand not? To condition your subsequent wrong thought and negative thinking. What are wrong thought? Thought that condition your fear, worry, anxiety, selfishness and suffering, understand not? Emotion. All this, if you are not careful or heedful, if you do not develop the wisdom or yoniso manasikara to enable you to see things as they are, clinging and grasping will continue to arise, and suffering or dukkha will be the outcome. See? So powerful. When you do not understand, that is how you are trapped. That's how you are tricked into delusion. That's how your mind stirs, grasps, clings. Entangle. Then who make you suffer? Who make you suffer? Your own delusion, isn't it? Thing is just the way it is. All those things that you see outside, like I used to say, this table, he never know that you call him a table. Understand? He didn't even argue with you. But because the table got defect, you become unhappy. So, all the external thing, the guests of the mind, they cannot talk. Understand? They cannot complain. But you deludedly go and get yourself entangled. So, isn't this delusion? Isn't this stupidity? That's why sometimes you shouldn't blame Mahayana for using such word. Last time, a lot of people used to tell me, why are they so crude? They use the word stupidity. Especially when you call somebody stupid, they get very angry. That's why they say, Theravada, more subtle, deluded. Not stupid, deluded. But delusion is worse than stupidity. ignorant, not knowing the truth. But really, you ask yourself, stupid or not? The guest of the mind cannot talk, cannot complain, and yet you get yourself entangled. Who is stupid? Your own delusion, condition, your stupidity. So we go on, then you will understand. The next verse, with total understanding of the ever shining, see? When you know that your true nature is already the meditative state, the Buddha nature, silent, mindful, peaceful, aware, relaxed, at ease. What happened? Don't have to do anything, just stay there. He is host and master. So the word host is synonymous to the owner or the innkeeper or the hotel. The ever shining is our Buddha nature. Imagine yourself as a hotel with 6 rooms. What are your 6 rooms? Your 6 sense bases are like your 6 rooms, isn't it? And sense data and external form are your guests of the mind, isn't it? They cannot complain, isn't it? Because they cannot talk, isn't it? So what happened? For example, the guest of your seeing consciousness is what? Color, shape and form, isn't it? Through color, shape and form, you perceive them, isn't it? That's why your seeing consciousness have them as guests. Then, vibration, like sound, music, noise, etc., are guests of the hearing consciousness. These guests of the mind are not like human beings, understand or not? Because they cannot talk or complain, understand or not? So what happened? It's a lot easier to manage this hotel, isn't it, or inn, isn't it? If one is not deluded, that's why I qualify it. If you are not deluded, it's very easy, isn't it? But they don't complain. They don't even talk to you, understand or not? The host is always there to receive the guests. The guests of the mind, they will come and they will go. Hence what? They are impermanent, isn't it? So why you want to worry about them? As guests, they are here to stay for a while only. And most of the time, they stay for a split second only. But because of your delusion, what you do? You cling on to them as memory. This guy did this to me. Understand? Then, give them meaning, isn't it? Why he is like that? He is my brother. He is my sister. Why he didn't care for me? Why he didn't love me? You perceive them that way, isn't it? They didn't do anything. But through your own wrong perception, you created this delusion. Then you deposit into your memory. Then the next moment you see them, you get angry. Because memory recall, last time they did that to me. That's why they are the guests of the mind. Actually, split second they come in, the next moment they are gone. But you hold on to them, they become your permanent guests in your memory bank. Understand not? So, they make you very busy. You every time got to deal with them. Every time you see something, the condition that make you recall, that guest come out. Understand not? Because you kept it inside your memory bank. Understand not? That's why through memory, through your senses, wherever there is condition, you recall. That's why sometimes for no reason you are so peaceful, you forgot about what happened long time ago. Suddenly one phone call come. That memory trigger off. Wow, you become fearful again. Especially those who are subject to child abuse and all those things. Or some bad experience. Then suddenly that guy came and visit you again through a phone call. I tell you, that's how human beings suffer. So they got to stay for longer period of time, causing you all the misery and suffering. So when you understand this, why do you want to hold on to all these things? Just accept them for what they are. They are also form and mind, understand or not? They also have delusion. That's why I always tell you, accept the reality of the moment, see things as they are. They are just what they are. Deluded person say deluded thing, do deluded thing. Angry person say angry thing. So there is no right and no wrong. Then there is no need to keep in memory and get angry, understand or not? Then you can just smile, laugh. Then your mind is so free. You try it. It can be done. But you must meditate first. Knowledge alone cannot free you. That's why you remember the three turning of the four noble truth. First noble truth is to be understood. Means you must really understand what suffering is. You don't say, oh, suffering, I know. Knowing is not enough. You must understand what suffering is. That's why Noble Eightfold Path is to be cultivated. Understand or not? Not just knowing. Knowing is not enough. So that's why you must meditate until this wisdom stabilizes. Then what I say become very easy. Then you understand. We move on to the next one. If the mundane mind, see, I use this word to make you understand. You have to deal with this mundane mind. Because when you are born as a human being, there is a consciousness already there. Understand? And this is your mundane mind. This is the one that stirs. Understand? This is the one that can either think and get lost in thought, or silent and stay inside and be with your awareness or Buddha nature. So if the mundane mind can reverse the light and shine within, what happens? Means you become aware from inside. Understand? Means you don't go out and get yourself entangled with external phenomena. So the moment you do that, what happens? It can stay aware inside and see clearly how peaceful he is when he just let them. This one is what? The guest of the mind. Understand or not? Allow them to come and go. Yeah? Perceiving them with wholesomeness and wisdom or right view. And also how he suffer and become miserable when he perceives them with negativity via your own wrong view or sakaya ditti, to grasp and cling on to them via wanting things your way. So this will enable him to develop the wisdom to understand that he, the host, does not attach or cling or react, then he will always be peaceful. And he will not be disturbed by the guests of the mind. Then life is meaningful, wonderful. And the guests of the mind can also be quite fun at times. So with this understanding, your mind is different. So reflect, contemplate, develop the wisdom, the three-turning wisdom. Understand not? The moment you understand this, you save a lot of time. You no need to, they say what in Cantonese, hango yin wong lo, yin wong lu. No need to run, no need to go and go through all this, what they call suffering, understand not? Or delusion, yin wong lu. So when you understand this, you cut short your cultivation by a lot. No need to go through all this that people don't understand one walk. Then when they go through this, they somehow argue among themselves. You wrong. This method better. That technique better. This monk better. This teaching better. This sutta better. Understand? Because they don't understand the teaching. The moment you understand the teaching, what are they arguing? Method, technique, and so-called doing, they are not the real understanding. They are what the thought conditioned them to believe that this is meditation. That's why I always tell you all what. Do not do anything without understanding. Don't gullibly go and do, thinking that you are meditating, you follow the instruction. investigate and find out what are you doing in the name of meditation. Why are you doing all this? The moment you investigate, you wake up. Then you realize, all this I don't have to do. Understand? Or? Like swimming. The moment you are clear, you don't have to learn how to float. The moment you understand the awareness nature is already there, you only need to silence and decondition your mind from the thinking. You are free. That's why meditation becomes very simple. Then the moment you're silent, relax, you become peaceful and calm. Understand not? And that's already your meditative natural state. The moment you understand this, your meditation moves. But if you don't understand, you will continuously do all the wrong thing without understanding. Why are you not peaceful? Because you are not relaxed, not silent. You are not aware. You stir your mind. Understand? You stir your mind through what? Through your wrong view, through your conditioning, through your memory. Understand? And all this come about through what? The wrong thought. Understand? Without thought, you are very peaceful. So how to be in a state of without thought? Heedfulness is without thought. Understand? That's why train your mind to be silent, to be heedful. You are free. That's why the Buddha very easy. Heedfulness is the path to the deathless. The heedful never die. It's so easy. Understand? Heedful means don't think, silent, aware, and live. Understand? Human beings don't know how to live because they think the only instrument to live is to use the thought. Understand? You forgot when you were young, you got no thought. Like a child. So innocent, so naive, so cute, isn't it? You can see the child, so cute, isn't it? No cunningness, no deceitfulness. Everything they see is so beautiful. You can see their eyes sparkling, like never see before. They appreciate everything that they come to perceive. That's how you look at them, so cute, so innocent. But how come the moment you grow up, you become so cunning, so selfish, so deceitful, so emotional? Because you don't have understanding, you don't have wisdom. The memory create all this through your delusion. You grasp and you cling. Deludedly, you entangle yourself. So any question or not? We finished this one already. You got any question? Any question or not? Today we are early, huh? 4 o'clock already. I know, these are just the important pointers or notes. If you got no question, then I will go through this, then we will start the Heart Sutta. This is just a recollection of what you supposed to understand. The important notes. Host means what? The host is always there to stay, but the guests, they come and they go. Understand or not? So this is a very important understanding. Your true nature within, understand or not? Ever shining, always there, never leave the place. But the guests of the mind, they come and they go. That's why they are not you. They are condition arising, causal phenomena. Then you hold the key to your own life destiny. I spoke last week. To be happy or to be unhappy depends entirely on your own choice. So why are you not happy? If we choose to be happy, then no one can make us unhappy unless we ourselves allow ourselves to be unhappy via our own delusion. So this is very clear. Thought is like money. Money is neither good or evil because good and evil depend on the user. If the user of money or thought is evil, then money or thought will also become evil. If the user of thought has wisdom, then thought become right and wholesome thought. So the user of thought is the most important. So strive on with heedfulness. This is very important. Okay, part 3 on meditation. This one very quickly. Brother Teo explained that the three turning of the Four Noble Truths in Pali under the Theravada tradition is very accurate. Mahayana's explanation compared to Theravada runs a little bit. I already explained last week. Problem of most cultivators is they tend to cling on to the first turning and never get down to the nitty-gritty of the second turning, where all the hard work is. That's why you must move into the contemplative wisdom, second turning. You must inquire, investigate into everything that people tell you. Do not believe. Don't gullibly believe. Understand not? Understand why you do things. Then you will have the wisdom. If you just follow, believe, you can never free. Your mind will be conditioned into that belief. Then you do without understanding. Then you cannot understand why you are like that. Then sometimes you will keep on asking, why? I meditate, I follow all the instruction, I have all the insight. I have heard a lot of people tell me, I've gone through all this insight, yet I come out to life, I still get angry. I still got problem. So, what are you trying to tell me? Well, you believe what people tell you. That's why you never investigate. You never realize the true Dhamma. The true Dhamma, like the Buddha said, no more suffering. Then how come you still suffer when you say you have gone through all the stages? The insight knowledges, they claim they have realized them all. If you have realized them all, you should be free from suffering, isn't it? But why are you not free? Because you believe, understand? And you gullibly think that by following those instructions, you can also become what they tell you. What they tell you is what they themselves perceive to be the truth. If they have realized, they won't tell you this way. They will tell you this one you cannot learn. You have to realize yourself, understand? You have to awaken yourself. You have to investigate and find out yourself. What I share with you is my understanding. And my understanding is a wisdom I cannot teach you. Your wisdom is not rigid. Wisdom is open, applied to all conditions. You cannot learn wisdom, understand? You cannot learn to be like me, understand? It can, like the Buddha, I will be full of joy to let you learn, to let you understand. That's why the Buddha always say, he can only show you the way. You have to walk the path yourself. Nothing else. Buddha merely showed the way. There's a song in that. We ourselves must walk the path. Buddha merely showed the way. And this is the essence of it. You cannot expect to learn. Wisdom cannot be learned. Understand? You have to awaken to it. So we finish. We go into the Heart Sutta. Okay. We turn to page 24. Continue from where we stop. Okay, page 24, or maybe we start again, the page 23, commentary, from the commentary. We just finished off the verses, I think, So now we go to the commentary, okay? 23, at the bottom, last paragraph, The name Avalokiteshvara is Sanskrit. In Chinese, it's rendered as Guan Zi Zai. How many of you don't know Mandarin? Oh, quite a number, You know what is Guan or not? Guan is contemplate, Zi Zai is what? At ease, understand or not? Zi is you yourself, understand? Zi Ji, Zi. Zai, at ease, means contemplate, at ease. So the English translation is just next to it, contemplating ease. Zi Zai is at ease. So that day, the Saturday class, I remember, it suddenly occurred to me, where I was trying to explain to this new lady. I said, do you understand what is the meaning of relax or not? He said, I think so. Then she asked me, how to relax? How to relax? You tell me how to relax. That's why I like Mandarin. Mandarin means what? 放松啊, let go of everything, loosen everything, understand? Means no more stress, no more tension, no more worry, no more anxiety, no more fear. Ah, fang song, means relax, understand? Ah, that word is very good, isn't it? Ah, the other one, I say, at ease. And suddenly she understand, oh, yeah, like that, relax. Oh, really relax. Then I say, when you're very tired, what happened? When you want to sleep, you're very relaxed, isn't it? Ah, you go and try that. When you are very tired, it's like, you're really very tired. When you let go of that, you are so relaxed. Because there is nothing that your mind can hold on to. Because you are so tired. When you are tired, means what? No more mind to become attached. Understand? Now? That's why a lot of people don't know how to relax. You know what they do? They go and exercise until they're very tired. Otherwise, they cannot sleep. This is the reason why. Because the mind think a lot, attached to a lot of things, a lot of worry, anxiety. So they exercise until they feel so tired, the mind got no power to think or grasp onto anything. And then they sleep. That's why you don't have to do that. If you have wisdom, you don't have to exercise until so tired to sleep. You just know how to relax. To relax means 放松, to release everything, just let things be and feel at ease. That's why when you go to meditation retreat, don't gullibly go in and torture yourself, understand not? You know how I meditate in a retreat or not? I never follow instruction. I do what I think is I understand. I just go in and relax and I just meditate and I feel very good. Then whenever I feel like coming out, I just come out. Whatever time you said not important, I just come out. Then the most relaxed state I was in was when I come out and take a walk. That time I very mindful. That's why I realized I don't have to concentrate to be mindful. I just relax and feel at ease. Then I just walk. I'm so mindful because everything that goes on, I just aware. I got no thinking. Then I can see all of nature's phenomena, all starting to happen. Understand? Then I feel so at ease. The awareness is just there, naturally. Because I don't try to force my mind to be aware. Understand? When you force means what? It's a conditioned thing. You only aware of the small thing. Understand? You aware of walking. Everything outside you don't know. That is not the real awareness. Understand? The real awareness is when you are silent and it's all pervading, all encompassing. It's just a free mind, understand? A free mind that is not attached to anything, not grasping onto anything, not preoccupied with anything. It just relaxed, silent and aware. That's why when I was alone, reflecting and content, I like to walk out of the meditation hall, look at nature. There is so much joy in doing all those things. And my mind is so peaceful and so quiet. That's why I know. That's why in Fraser's Hill Retreat, you remember? I teach you all to go out. Just be aware. Relax and just walk around. Develop that understanding of what awareness is. Then understand the beauty of nature's phenomena. Because in this Fraser's Hill, very conducive. The vibration, the energy, the nature, everything is so beautiful. That's why we go there. The setting is better. And it's so easy to settle down because it's away from your career, your house problem, all of your house chaos and all those things. No need to cook, no need to worry about children, no need to worry about office. You go there, the mind free, relax. You just meditate. Take it as a holiday, understand? That's why I always say spiritual come tour trip. I never say spiritual trip. Understand? Come tour. Means you go and relax. That's why our trip all is very relaxed and dhamma together. But no forcing. You do at whatever pace you are capable of doing. Everyone is different. You cannot expect everyone to be very dead serious, understand? But when they understand, they automatically become dead serious. And the moment they connect, especially when we travel, there are many of these devotees meant to be, supposed to be on the trip. The moment they are there, everything starts to happen. Their heart starts to feel. then the tears start to come out. Then they feel like something there is very familiar to them, like they have been there before. Then everything happened, connect back. And then after that, no need to explain the Dhamma. They know how to come to you and ask, "Brother, why like that? So funny." Then after that, they know how to cultivate on their own. No need to say, "Hey, you must be heedful. You must not be heedless." No need already. Automatically, they just do. So many of them. So that's why you have to find out yourself, understand yourself, then you will know how to move. So this is a very important understanding. 自在, at ease. So here we concentrate on developing the understanding. Don't just go and believe what they say. So we continue. To be at ease is to be what? What is the next page? So are you happy? Are you peaceful? If you are every day the face very long, how to be at ease? Understand or not? Means you have problem inside. Smile also cannot smile. What type of life are you having? Understand or not? Don't talk about meditation, you can't even smile. Understand or not? When there is no happiness and joy, when there is a lot of sorrow, unhappiness, means your mind is clinging, holding on to something, attached to something, has a lot of problem inside. That's why it's not at ease, it's not free. And you cannot feel it because you don't have awareness. You don't even know how this thing went in, how you become like that, how you have this state, negative state of consciousness, the unhappy mind, the sad mind. What is a sad mind? Full of sadness, isn't it? Do you want to have that type of mind? A lot of people, they say no, but everything they do point towards that direction. I have seen a lot of people. I ask them, "You have a choice, isn't it? You hold the key to your own life destiny. To be happy or unhappy, you have a choice, isn't it? Do you want to be unhappy? No. But what are you doing? Everything they do make them unhappy." I say, every day you see something, you get angry. You say you want to be happy. Your words say want to be happy. Inside, you don't understand. You keep on doing things that make you unhappy. Understand? Because you arise the wrong speech, the wrong action, and the wrong thought. What are wrong thoughts? Thought that condition your fear, worry, anxiety. All this is making you miserable. Understand? Why you want to think that thought? Understand? If you want to be happy, very simple. Dhammapada verse 1 and 2. Understand that you will be very happy. What is Dhammapada verse 1? When you act, think, and speak with a heedless mind, wicked mind that has the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion, suffering will follow you. You go and check all your thought, all your action, all your speech. If there is the three evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion, and selfishness, and fear, then you tell me whether the Buddha is right or wrong. You shall suffer. Suffering will follow you, like the hood that follow the wheel. You want to be happy? Very easy. Follow Dhammapada verse 2. What is verse 2? Your mind is the forerunner of all things, isn't it? Mind is chief, isn't it? Everything arises when the mind arises. So when you know mind is so important, what do the Buddha say? You determine to train your mind to be heedful. When your mind is heedful, you cannot allow it to make mistake, isn't it? Such a being, the Buddha said, they will act, speak, and think with a wholesome mind, free of the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion, because they are heedful. The moment there is any evil root, they are aware. Then they use the right effort to abandon and prevent it from arising. Such a being, the Buddha said, happiness will follow him like the shadow that never leaves him. So you understand this, you will know how to have the good life, the happy life. You only need to be heedful, aware of your mental intention behind your actions, speech, and thought. As long as the evil roots are not there, you will be very peaceful, because this is how you avoid all evil, do good. After that, to have wisdom to be free from all suffering, you still need to purify your mind, meditate. That's why Dhammapada verse 1 and 2 can give you happiness. Especially Dhammapada verse 2. But it cannot free you forever, understand? Because there are certain things that come with wisdom when you cannot cope, understand? You may not have any selfishness, greed and delusion, or anger, aversion, emotion or delusion. But then you have attachment to something, understand? Like your body, you deludedly believe it's you. So what happened? You don't have the selfishness. You don't have the greed and the hatred. But you have delusion, understand? So when this body gets sick, you become unhappy. You become fearful. This one needs wisdom to break. Right thought cannot break this, understand? Wisdom thought can. That's why you must have wisdom. That's why you must purify your mind. To understand that this form and mind is not really what you are. It's only element, cannot be you. Then after that, you see the condition arising, causal phenomenon. Then the aggregate of mind also cannot be you. Feeling, perception, activity of mind and conscience, they are all byproduct of your true nature, not you. And then you start to develop the wisdom. The Buddha said, the five aggregates of form and mind are empty. Anicchang dukkang anatta. So the moment you understand, you don't cling and don't grasp, suffering cease to be. Because the first noble truth, the final summary is this. In short, the Buddha said, it is your delusion that condition your grasping and clinging to this five aggregates of form and mind, namarupa, that I call suffering or dukkha. So understanding this will free you. So now you understand. Xuanhua, I repeat this part. To be at ease is to be happy about everything. And to be without worry and obstacle. So can you do that? No worry. Whatever happened, no need to worry. Why must you worry? You ask yourself, if you worry, does it help you? It doesn't help you, is it? Worry means what? Fear, anxiety, is it? But the reality is, if let's say something happened to your children or whatever, let's say, okay? Or your health, understand? Doctor say something. You go and worry about it, does it help you? Accept the reality, understand? Don't go and worry. Don't go and develop the fear, worry, and the anxiety. Accept the reality means need a second opinion, go for it. Understand? Then understand what happened to your children. Let's say he has a problem. Went to school, people beat him up, then he got phobia, then not go to school. So what are you going to do? You go and worry for him. Doesn't help him in that. What you need to do? Talk to him. Understand what is going on. Find out. Then ask yourself, what are my options? I no need to worry, isn't it? I look at the reality, then I act. I act with noble eightfold path. No negativity. Means what? No fear, no worry, no anxiety, no anger, no hatred, no selfishness. I just do what I have to do. Then if I need to calm him down, I will calm him down. Then tell him, don't worry, boy. Tomorrow, I go with you to the school. We talk to the teacher. Then we find out. If this is not the place for you, I will apply for you to transfer to another school. This is how you can actually act, understand? More tangible, understand? At least you solve the problem. But you go and worry, understand? Then wait for your husband to come back. Call your husband. Complain to him. Our boy, they mistreat him like that. Poke fire, they say poke fire. Make the husband also more angry. Then husband, how can the teacher do that? How can the him? Then, with this anger, the next day you went to the school, you are already want to go to war, understand or not? So how can you solve the problem? You get angry and you start scolding before you can even sit down and listen and discuss what happened. And the teacher, like you, also human being, what he do? he will also react. Understand not? And when two very violent fellow, selfish and angry fellow, clash, what happened? Huh? The Malay verse, huh? Gajah sama gajah berjuang, pelanduk mati di tengah-tengah. Who is the pelanduk? Your son. Because these two fellow fight, the teacher get more angry. The next day, your parent go back, you're going to tell this boy, oh, you think you're very smart, huh? Tell your parent, complain, and send him here and deal with me. Now you better stand outside. You punish the kid, understand? And everything that you do, you realize, because you got anger, it's an evil root. It makes you into a very evil person. It never solves your problem. That's why the Buddha said, to solve your problem, what you need is Noble Eightfold Path. Understand not? Right view, right speech, right action, and right thought. Nothing else. Then everything can be resolved amicably through goodness, through kindness, gentleness, understanding. No negativity. That's why the Buddha Dharma, the teaching is very unique, very different. And it can be applied to life. But human beings don't know how to apply. That's why they always do things that make them unhappy. Even though they want to be happy. So this one, don't think it's very easy. To be at ease means what? To be happy about everything and to be without worry and obstacle. Means nothing can make you unhappy. To be unimpeded is to contemplate ease. When you are at ease means what? No problem, isn't it? Because everything is okay, isn't it? That's why you are at ease. You must have wisdom. Without wisdom, you cannot be at ease. Then Xianhua said, if you are impeded, then you are not contemplating ease. Impeded means what? Got problem. Got obstruction. So reversing the light to shine within is contemplating ease. Understand now? Just like what I told you just now, when you reverse the light and reflect, shine within, you start to see how you get stirred into anger and become miserable. Isn't it? Then you start to see when you don't react, you become so peaceful. Isn't it? Then no need me to teach you. Isn't it? You know how to choose. Isn't it? Then don't react. Understand not? And the understanding will come because you reverse the light within and shine within to observe and find out and investigate why you are like that. If you don't investigate, you just believe what I say, the Buddha say, or the monk say, you should get into trouble. Because what they say is not the reality. It's like your wife complaining to you. Poke fire one. That one you go and believe. Then you go to school at war. Means you didn't find out. You didn't investigate. For those who have the wisdom, they don't do that. That's why I don't do that. I observe my boy. Then when he come back, not his usual self, I will know. Then I will talk to him. What happened today, school? At first, he don't want to talk, understand not? Then, it doesn't look right. Normally, you are very cheerful. How come today like that? Oh, then he will start to cry. Then he will start to tell me. I think I have shared this story with you all before. The classmate died. He was only 9 years old. His classmate, best friend, top student both. He always tell me on, he said, luckily my class got this guy. Because he can only talk to him. The rest, I don't know, according to him, they cannot understand. Only this fellow. This guy, the son also, very intelligent. Because the father also, he told me, my senior, another engineer, but he's a mechanical engineer. So they are very happy together. Then suddenly, one day he came back, he was not his usual self. Because this classmate died, just died. 9 years old only, died like that. Then he started to tell me, why must he die? He is my best friend. Then I look at him, wow, so young, talk like that. So I got to talk to him nicely. I said, yeah, okay, come, come, come. Daddy explained to you. I said, you like him a lot because he is very good. He's the only person. I said, this is what the Buddha say, attachment. But if you will investigate deep into it, I said, you know what is happening? The fact, the reality, he is already dead. Okay? Either you accept this and move. Otherwise, your thought keep on repeating. Keep on telling, how can he die? Means you want things your way. You don't want to accept the reality of the moment. Then I say, finally, it's only your thought, nothing else. I say, how come the thought got power over you and can make you so unhappy and so miserable? You know what happened? The next morning, he wake up, he came and tell me, Daddy, you are right. It's only my thought. He got no more problem. He went to school, he became his usual self. He's so happy again. Just like that. And he was only 9 years old. Understand that? That's why wisdom is so powerful. Otherwise, you bring him to see psychiatrist. Understand that? Try to maybe talk to him or whatever. No need. Just explain to him in a very clear-cut manner. The fact is, he is already dead. Understand that? Every human being must confront death. When the time comes, you must accept this reality. If you don't accept, you will suffer. Your thought will keep on creating all this unhappiness in you. Well, your thought can justify a lot of things. How can he die? He is my best friend. So a lot of these things will go on. So the moment you understand, your mind is different. It is so different. It can free. Straight away it can free. And the purpose of meditation is to see your content of consciousness. That's why you reverse the light and shine within, is to see your content of consciousness. You know what is your content of consciousness or not? Content. What is inside this cup is the content. Understand not? So consciousness is just the receptacle, the pure consciousness. Understand not? What are your content? Your mental intention, your feeling, your emotion, your conditioning. Everything that your thinking create is the content. Understand not? That's why right thought, wrong thought, wholesome thought, unwholesome thought, fearful thought, all these type of thought, these are your content. So when you see your content is negative, means what? It's an unhappy mind there. Then no more peaceful, no more at ease. That's why I always ask this question. I say, you can check very easily. Are you happy? Are you peaceful? The moment you are unhappy and not peaceful, the evil roots are there. Your content of consciousness is negative. Understand that? That's why when you reverse the light with the inner awareness, you can see them all. Understand that? The moment you see, you understand that you don't need me to teach you anymore. That black and white is so clear. That one make you miserable and one make you so peaceful. That like that also don't know how to choose. Then you are not a human being. Understand? But those who cannot see this, I don't blame them, because they always go out. Then they blame people for their unhappiness. Understand? That's why they cannot see. But to them is, he make me angry. That guy cheated me, caused me all this suffering and misery. But if you look inside, nobody do that to you. You yourself, through your wrong thought, created it. Understand? Because when you look inside, there is nobody there. Understand? It's just the guest of the mind. The guest of the mind never talk, never complain. So who is the one that deludedly caused all this misunderstanding and wrong view? You yourself, through your own wrong perception, isn't it? Then you cannot blame anymore, isn't it? Because you see it happening inside. Your anger, your hatred, your fear come from what? Come from your stirring of your mind. Understand? When you don't do anything, you just accept them for what they are, you are so peaceful. When you relax and just aware and silent, you are so peaceful. Then why you allow your mind to stir? Means you don't have wisdom. You don't understand what is going on. You have been deluded. This is a very powerful understanding. And the moment you understand this, you see the beauty of the Mahayana teaching. That's why they always say, when you meditate, you reverse the light and shine within. Hui guang fan zhao. Reverse the light means what? Don't chase the sense door. Don't go outside and entangle yourself with external phenomenal world. Go within, check with awareness how you function as a human being, how your mind stir, how you are conditioned into all those suffering state, misery. What is the cause behind? Like the Buddha said, trace the origination factor. Before you are angry, you are not angry. Then how come you become angry? Before you have fear, you are not fearful. How come fear come to be? When you investigate from inside, the wisdom will come out. That's how you meditate. With awareness, 6 internal sense bases and 6 external sense bases. Understand? That's why under Dhammanupassana, the 18th sense rhyme, then you start to see how you function as a human being. Sense data, upon contact with the organ, consciousness come to be. Then when the consciousness arrives, what did you do? Through delusion, you lashes onto it, you react. That's how it stir. Then you get entangled. But if you see things as they are, then the mind no need to stir. Understand? Then it is at ease. When it is at ease, you are so peaceful. Then why do you want to fight the world? Why do you want to get angry with the world? The world is the world. Human being is just the way they are. Understand not? There is another set of conditions govern them, understand? Their behavior. Like you. Nobody can force you to be what you are, understand? You decide what you want to be, isn't it? Because you have this freedom, isn't it? So you are what you are, isn't it? If you are deluded, you will say deluded thing and do deluded thing. If you have wisdom, you will do wise thing. Understand? Then when you understand that, you will understand why human beings are like that, why the world is like that. So your peace, your happiness must be independent of the world. What the world is and what people do. Understand? If your peace is dependent on the environment and the world and what people do and what people does, you show miserable one, I tell you. You will never have happiness. Yeah. Happiness is within. When I choose to be happy, I will always be happy. Because my happiness is independent of what happened to the world and independent of what people say and what people do. Yeah. If I understand this, I will always be happy. You only become unhappy when you do not understand this principle. You believe your happiness is dependent on the world. When people are kind to you, you're very happy. When people praise you, you are very happy. When people speak illy of you, accuse you, you become miserable. Means what? Huh? Means what? You are very predictable. Yeah? Huh? Like they say, can manipulate you, like the music. If I want do, I press this button do. Then the reaction is there. Means I know your weakness. You become very predictable, very vulnerable. I want to make you very miserable. Press this button straight away, miserable. Because your happiness is dependent on outside. That's why nowadays there are a lot of ways to make people miserable. So when you have that wisdom inside your heart, you are totally different. Totally different. Okay, we go on a bit. 4:45 is so fast. Okay. Reversing the light to shine within is contemplating ease. Means you are aware from inside. Every time aware. Why are you not happy? Why are you not peaceful? Why are you not at ease? That's why when you contemplate and reflect, you develop the wisdom. And this is the second turning wisdom, understand? Why did the Buddha say this? Then you check from inside. Oh, you realize the Buddha's teaching is so beautiful. The Noble Truth, they are so beautiful, so precise. That is exactly what happened. So the moment I understand, I have a lot of joy, I have a lot of faith in the Buddha and his teaching, then my saddha and virya become very strong. Then it would move me to cultivate the sati, anasana, the mindfulness. Then I become heedful. The moment I become heedful, I am destined for enlightenment, anasana. then you no need to worry about meditation. But the moment you are heedful means what? You are the host. Understand not? You don't need to be mindful anymore. You don't need to learn to be mindful anymore. The moment you are heedful means you are aware without thought. You become the host. And the host understand. Understand not? No more delusion. That's why the moment you are heedful, nobody can delude you. Nobody can cause you any delusion to condition your misery and suffering. So this is a very important understanding. Eh? We go on. What is meant by reversing the light to shine within? Eh? The same question. Eh? Regardless of what the situation is, examine yourself. See? Self-investigation. Eh? Examine yourself. If someone has wronged you, you should think to yourself, basically, I was wrong. Ah, that's why I say this part is not so good, isn't it? This part is using the thought, isn't it? Because still the I, eh? You see, regardless of what the situation is, this part is okay. You say, examine yourself, okay. But the next example is that if someone has wronged you, blame you, eh? You should think. What is think? Your thought, isn't it? Ah, the moment you use your thought, you finish already. Understand? You should think to yourself. So the thought tell you what? Basically, I was wrong. He accused me. Understand? You finish already. You can get angry at the That's why I say this part. Forget about what he said. You move on. Eh? If you say when people don't act properly towards me, I don't look to see whether I'm right myself. I just smash them right away. This is his reaction. Eh? Smash their head is so that smash their head in so that the blood will flow. Then you haven't won a victory, but have only shown your complete lack of principle and wisdom. To reverse the light to shine within is to have principle and wisdom. Now he teaches you how to develop the real contemplation. Understand not? Not using your thought anymore. So what did he say? Reverse the light and contemplate whether or not you are at ease. See? Whether you are peaceful or not. Nothing to do with the thought anymore. Just aware, feel. The moment I am not peaceful means I reacted. Understand not? I allow the thought to stir me through delusion. Understand not? Then he say, I will explain the two characters, 自在, which together means at ease. The 自 is 自己, oneself, okay? And the 在 is here. I am here. 在这里. That's why 自在 is me in the moment. Understand? When you are with the moment without thought, you are at ease. Understand? Because no thought means what? No stirring of the mind. No fear, no worry, no anxiety. No problem. Understand? That's why 自在 is when you are with the moment in awareness, that is at ease. When your mind do not stir. When you are heedful. See, the meaning become very clear now. I will say in word for word, are you right here? Or are you lost in thought? If you are right here, means you are this moment aware. Okay? Or aren't you? In other words, do you have false thought? You see? False thought means what? 妄想. That's why the Mandarin words are very good. But English, nobody use this word false thought. It's just heedless thinking, isn't it? So it's better to use the word heedless thinking. Do you have heedless thinking? False thought, thought is a thought, isn't it? Where got real and false? But in Mandarin, it's translated that way, you know, 妄想. False thinking means useless thinking, another heedless thinking. Daydreaming, correct. But it's worse than daydreaming, actually. But most of the time, it's like daydreaming. Means you are not heedful at all. You are not mindful at all. You just allow the thought to proliferate. If one has false thought, then one is not right here. Understand not? Means you are lost in thought, isn't it? It is very simple. To reverse the light to shine within is simple. is simply to see whether you have false or heedless thinking. If you have heedless thinking or false thought, then you aren't at ease. If you don't have heedless thinking, then you are at ease. That's how wonderful it is. Understand not? That's why heedfulness is very important. That's why the Buddha is right. He said heedfulness is the path to the deathless. The heedful never die. So this part on 自在, at ease, understand? You are with the moment, understand? Without false thought, without heedless thinking, you are just silent and aware, heedful. That is the meaning of 自在. So Avalokiteshvara enlightened all sentient beings. Thus he is the Bodhisattva. What is a Bodhisattva? A Bodhisattva is somebody who wants to enlighten sentient beings because they vow to take all beings across. The Chinese word for enlightened is Jue. This word is Jue. Correct? Jue的Jue, enlightened. Meaning to enlighten. And it becomes another Jue. Wu also can. awaken, realize. But this word, I need you to explain to me. I no good at Mandarin. 多一个手字旁, does it change the meaning? 手字旁. Another 觉, you know, it becomes another 觉. It turns into a lot of trouble. Oh, 脚啊, 不是手啊, 那个是脚. How you pronounce this word? Also 觉啊? Oh, 脚, sorry, 脚. 脚, yeah. Means it extra one, is it a 手字旁, that one? That one is a 手字旁? Okay. Oh, this one is 睡觉, okay. Good. That's why I need you to help me because my Mandarin, I English educator, I don't understand this word. But I only understand some Dhamma words. That's why when you talk about Jue, I understand. But this Jiao, I don't know. That's why I ask you, when there is a Shou Zi Pang add to it, what is the meaning? Oh, it's sleeping, huh? Oh, Jiao, oh, stir. Oh, no wonder he say it turned into a lot of trouble. Okay. So, the stirring up, see? Your mind stir, understand not? The stirring up trouble is jiao. Oh, good, huh? It's not to enlighten sentient being, means to create problem, but to make them stupid and try to turn what is good in their life into what is evil. See? Just because of one extra stroke at the side, the whole meaning is gone. Living beings do a lot of these things because they are deluded. They don't understand. So this part is very, very interesting too. So today I learned one new word. But here in the verse, Jue means to bring understanding to all living beings. So Bodhisattva are here to actually make you enlightened, to help to bring you across, to develop the wisdom, to assist you or help you. That's why they have their vows. That's why Mahayana is very different. The Bodhisattva and the Buddha, they have their special vow. Their vow are very heavy and very powerful. You can connect to their vow, either through chanting, through faith or whatever, then there is a response. That's why the cultivation is a lot easier. That's why you do not underestimate what the Pure Land teaching and the Mahayana teaching is. A lot of people fail to understand. They always say, they only chant, and chant. Every day, Namo Amitabha, Namo Amitabha. No Noble Eightfold Path. How to be enlightened? Very logical, isn't it? But they don't understand what is the meaning. I already explained to you that. Or they chant Namo Kuan Si Ying Pusa or Namo Pen Si Si Jia Moni Fo. You see, when you have the faith in the Buddha, or Pusa and the Bodhisattva, what happened? You chant until the chanting become, the mind and the chanting become one, understand? Like you do Anapanasati, breathing in, you are aware. It's without thought. When you chant until without thought, the mind and the chanting as one, that is sati, understand? That is apamada, that is heedful. That's why they can see things as they are. No different from your meditation or heedfulness, understand? And then after they are heedful, only they cultivate Noble Eightfold Path, understand? That's why you don't understand what is going on. And they have the advantage. When you chant with your heart, when you have very strong faith, it connects to the Bodhisattva and the Buddha's vow. When it connects, they bring forth the condition for you to understand the truth and the Dhamma. Understand? That's why it becomes so easy. No need to learn anything. Just have faith. Then develop the training of the mind to be heedful. That's why Saddha Virya develops Sati. Remember the five spiritual faculties? When you have faith, then when you determine very strongly, the Virya come, then Sati come. When Sati come, automatically Samadhi and Panya will come. When the five spiritual faculties are there, the seven factor of enlightenment will come to be. That's how the Noble Eightfold Path will come. That's why you don't understand how they cultivate. The cultivation is very different but very powerful. So when you don't understand, try, have an open mind. Don't simply say things. It's just like a primary school student. Don't believe that there is such thing as a higher maths, calculus, differential equation. He keep on telling people, bullshit, my teacher just say four things. Addition, multiplication, subtraction, and division. That's it. So, what happened? And you are only taught this, addition, subtraction, multiplication, and division. Anything out of this, you say wrong. No such thing. Exactly the same. Because it's just like they say, no Noble Eightfold Path. But then, you look at the cultivation. You're supposed to develop the spiritual faculty, Saddha, Virya, Sati. Then Samadhi and Panya. Then with this mind, heedfulness, awareness, Sati will bring about Dhamma investigation, followed by all the other seven factors of enlightenment. Then the Noble Eightfold Path will become very clear to them. That's why they will understand the Four Noble Truths. They will understand what the Noble Eightfold Path is. And automatic, the cultivation bring them to that. Very easily understood. So this is the part that can be quite interesting. Okay, then they have the what they call, what is meant by sentient? What's the time now? Oh, 5 o'clock. Okay, I think we stop here. We stop here. The rest you go back and read. What is meant by sentient being? Here he cautioned you, be careful not to misunderstand the text here by hastily, assuming that the word sentient, yu qing, isn't it? Means what? Emotional love, yao qing, qing ai is emotional love, As the Chinese character can be interpreted in another context. No, to enlighten sentient being is to empty yourself of love. You must see love as empty. This is to be a bodhisattva. You go back and slowly go through, then maybe you can develop the understanding yourself. Then later on when we come and do the sharing next week, we can actually discuss it. This part can be more and more interesting now. Okay. We will maybe take a break. You can have a 2 or 3 minutes break. Then we come back. We will continue with the meditation. Okay, now we start. our second session on meditation. Today will be a lot easier because we don't need to go through the three turning the notes anymore. We have finished that. So we will do the standard meditation. Then after that, we can have maybe half an hour or reporting Q&A. So for those who already know how to meditate, I think quite easy. You can go ahead. Then I think nobody is new, so I don't have to explain. Meditation will be very simple when you understand. So first, the Buddha explained very clearly, because the mind has been heedless for so long. That's why the hindrance of mind are there, the five mental hindrance. Sensual desire, ill will, sloth and torpor, or sleepy mind, followed by restless mind and doubt. And to overcome all this, the Buddha recommend we develop the five spiritual faculty. That's why you have Sada, Virya, Sati, Samadhi and Panya. All this you will develop when you come here to meditate. You do your puja, opening and closing. Then you silence your mind, train your mind. All this is to develop the spiritual faculty, to train your mind, to reverse the heedless thinking. So today, I will just summarize to you how you can train your mind. I put on the board, training of the mind to be heedful. How can you develop that? So what I normally share with you, now we go through one more time. Do you understand why I ask you to develop this mind sweeping method or not, combined with metta? Because this is a very important training. This is to decondition your mind from the heedless thinking. Mind sweeping method is to relax and to be at ease. Then you close your eye, make sure your backbone is straight. Means when you are relaxed, means what? You don't have any worry, anxiety, fear, or whatever negative state of mind. You are just relaxed, silent. You want to meditate, you want to train your mind. So make sure your backbone is straight. Then you close your eye and you feel. Feel means don't think. Understand? Not? That's how you start with your forehead. You have to do this many times so that your thinking will be deconditioned out. Then in between, when you reach your facial muscle, you combine with loving kindness. Loving kindness is very important. Loving kindness is to teach you how to radiate metta and develop the radiant smile. When you smile, you are relaxed and at ease. When you are relaxed and at ease, you are heedful inside, you are aware. That's why it helps a lot. Okay, so the first step in training your mind is just to develop this mind sweeping method combined with metta, then use the 6 R to guide you. 6 R, very important. I have already written in the notes. Once you recognize your mind has distracted, it has created some form of thinking, heedless thinking, or tightness or tension somewhere, you only need to recognize that it has happened. Then release that mind. Do not grasp onto it. Like itchiness, pain, numbness, or restlessness. Once you recognize, you release it. You don't go and fight it, understand or not? When you release it, means you don't go and entangle yourself anymore. Then what you do? You relax. Relax is very important. You just relax. Relax means fang song. Means let go of everything. Relax. Then at ease. Okay? After that, you want, you can re-smile, like he said. Re-smile. Then he's supposed to teach you return and repeat. You don't have to repeat. You return. If you want to train your mind in anapanasati, then you return to the breathing. You just do your training of the mind to be aware, silent. Every time the mind distracts, you bring it back train your mind. That's why I put there, mind sweeping method followed by the metta, combined with the metta, then you develop the 6R, recognize, release, relax, re-smile. Train your mind to just do that. Then after that, you have to use your breathing or any of your meditation object to anchor your awareness so that you can stabilize this heedfulness or this mindfulness within you. After you have done that, you can actually start the real meditation. The real meditation is very simple. Once you have trained your mind and it's heedful, you just silence your mind. No need to do anything. The moment you are silent, like we just now went through, you are with your inner nature, fully aware, relaxed, and silent within. This is the mind that can meditate, that can understand what is going on. Then just aware. Reverse the light within and just aware from inside. Any stirring, any movement, just silence your mind and aware. No need to know. The knowing will come by itself. Initially, when your mind is not stabilized yet, your heedfulness and mindfulness is not stabilized, then you need an object of meditation to anchor it. Use your breathing if you can. If you already have your own method or technique or skillful means, you can also use that just to train your mind. Then finally, always remember, all this method, technique, and skillful means is like the float you use in the pool. It's just to anchor your mind. After you have trained already, you have to let go of it. You have to completely let go of it. Your mind should be able to be mindful on its own, silent on its own. So for Anapanasati, you will reach a state where the breathing becomes very subtle and very calm and very peaceful. Initially, it will develop into long breathing, long breath, very calm, long and mindful breathing. This stage will take a while, maybe a month or two, or sometime longer. Then after this calmness becomes very stable, you have to release it out into normal awareness so that it can silent on its own. Then this breathing will become different. The long breath finally will become very, very subtle, like very little or no breathing. When that happens, your mind actually can let go of the breathing, because you need to silence your mind to develop the higher, more refined sati or mindfulness to be mindful. So during that time when you just silence your mind, the subtle breathing will come back to you. Even how slow, how subtle, it will come back to you, because your mindfulness has reached a much, much more refined level. That can only happen when you completely silence your mind, don't do anything, like no breathing. But actually there is an internal breathing. Then when you can do that, your mind has this, what they call, quality of sati, very stable. During that time, you can be mindful of anything. Anywhere you place your awareness, you can be mindful of it. Even your subtle breathing, it will come back to you, like very clear. Very little and no breathing, but you can still follow it. So that type of mind is very beautiful. That type of mind is what they call the silent mind. The mind itself is in sati, means the mind is in the state of sati or mindfulness. Such a mind can be mindful at every moment of sense experience. No more only when you are breathing. It can be mindful at the moment of seeing. It can be mindful at the moment of hearing. It can be mindful at the moment of sense experience. That's why it's a totally different mind. Because the mind that is in sati is in the meditative state. The mind that is in sati is heedful, ever mindful, silent, to see things as they are, to understand truth, to understand the reality of the moment. That's why the stirring of the mind, the arising of the aggregate, the consciousness, the five aggregate of form and mind, you come to see them very clearly, then the Buddha Dharma, all the teaching, the Four Noble Truths, the law of dependent origination, the three evil roots, the five spiritual faculties, the five hindrances, the four foundations of mindfulness, everything, you will start to see them happening within your own form and mind. That's why you can investigate and confirm the Buddha Dharma, and then you will awaken. Like the Buddha said, the Dhamma is Pachetang, can be realized by the wise each for themselves. Then the Dhamma is Ehi Paseko, can be investigated into, because it is the truth, it will stand up to investigation. So this is what you have to do. So the training of the mind is very simple. Just use the mind sweeping method, continue to sweep. Actually, the longer you do this, the better it is, because the deconditioning of your thinking mind, the heedless thinking, is very important. If every time you feel relaxed, feel and relax, feel and relax, then radiate this metta smile. Your mind become very calm, very peaceful, very relaxed and very at ease. Then such a mind can develop into the quiet, silent awareness. Then when you are calm and peaceful, mindful, you can train on one of the objects of meditation. You can try the breathing or whatever. Wherever you put your mind, it will stay there. Even at the heart, you can anchor it to the heart. I find anchoring to the heart is very beautiful. Because finally, everything drop back to the heart. The anapanasati also will go back to the heart, because it is from the heart that the life force come to be. The breathing through prajna will take you back to the heart. So finally, when you stay at the heart, you can initially anchor it there. But like the Diamond Sutta said, the mind must have no dwelling. So finally, you must let go of even the heart. But the heart is very important, because it can make you aware of a lot of things. It is the seat of consciousness. It is from there all of consciousness arise and pass away. Your life force, your karmic force, everything arise there. So when you can silence your mind and anchor it to the heart, you are away from your memory, your brain. That's why you don't think so much. Then from here, you aware. You can hear, you can see everything from your heart. You don't have to put your attention at your brain. That's why the deconditioning will happen. When you stay at the heart, the consciousness is different. The awareness is different. There is much less thinking. Then when you stay at the heart, it can become very quiet, very tranquil, and very peaceful, and very silent. And your whole vibration will slow down. Your mind will become very calm and very peaceful. Then such a mind is ever mindful, heedful. Then when you come out into daily life, because you know how to anchor to the heart, you can live from the heart. No need to live from the brain anymore. This is the extra thing that I want to add today. How to stay at your heart. Then your daily mindfulness, you can return all awareness back to your heart initially. Back to your heart. Then later on, when you are at the heart, you just silence everything. Relax, silent. Then this mindfulness will detect either vibration or heartbeat. You just let the thing happen naturally. Then one day, when you are very calm and very peaceful, there will be a point, a gateway, where you will detect. Then all of your energy will flow inside. Your yin and yang energy will flow inside. It will go in on its own. It will melt inside, become pure energy. This is the real internal transformation. When that happens, the nature and the mind become one. Then all of the meditation will happen within. Then you will know how to direct through an understanding and awareness and mindfulness, all of your whatever spiritual energy that you have cultivated, even all your yin and yang, because initially before the wisdom come, all of your consciousness, they still have some form of yin and yang. It's not pure consciousness yet. All this will have to melt inside your nature, and through that nature's vibration and wisdom, it will allow your mind to transform. That's why finally the mundane mind can collapse, the supramundane mind can come about, then the direct seeing all different, the awakening all different. Okay, I will leave it to you to meditate, then I will ring the bell in about 10 minutes time. For those who still want to meditate, you can silently continue the meditation. For those who have now, you can slowly, mindfully come out of the meditation. Try to maintain whatever inner calmness, inner peace and inner awareness that you have developed. Maintain them for as long as you can. The key to training your mind is to develop the stability of mindfulness and heedfulness. When you are here in a meditation hall or in a retreat center, it's easier to develop this type of training because your senses are all less active, understand? Whereas in the working life, in the midst of living, your senses are all very active. You have to move, you have to work, you have to attend to a lot of things and cures. That's why your senses are active. So when your senses are active, it is very difficult for you to train this mind because you are not used to it. And you have not developed the ability to be heedful yet. If you have developed that, then daily mindfulness is not a problem. Otherwise, it's very difficult because you have to understand. Most of us here, maybe the youngest is about 40, maybe Sui is younger, Sui 30 something or what, or maybe below 30. Anybody below 30? Even at 30, you have been conditioned for the last 30 years of heedless thinking. So you ask yourself, how can you overnight reverse it? Unless you are Hui Ning. You know who is Hui Ning? The sixth patriarch. You know why he can do it. His cultivation is so powerful, his perfection is so powerful. When he came, his karmic inheritance and spiritual nature is so powerful. He was born without the mundane mind. His mind already the enlightened state. That's why when he was a woodcutter, he illiterate, he doesn't know anything. Then when he delivered the cut wood to the person who wants it, he overheard somebody nearby chanting the Diamond Sutta. He is an illiterate, you see, but he can understand the spoken Mandarin. So this supposed to be a merchant who has a lot of faith in the fifth patriarch Wu Zhu. So he actually was chanting this Diamond Sutta. Then when he reached that state where he resides, the mind must have no dwelling. Hui Ning immediately enlightened. Then he went in and asked the merchant, what is it that you are reciting? The merchant looked at him. He said, you are just a woodcutter, illiterate. Why do you want to know? Do you know what Hui Ning told him? You know what Hui Ning told him or not? He said, what you chant is very interesting. Because the moment I hear that, I understand. He awakened, he became enlightened. So this merchant looked at him. You illiterate. You didn't even go to school. You haven't heard of this sutta. But yet you can understand and awaken. You must be somebody very special, he said. Then he told him, this is the Diamond Sutta, Jing Kang Jing. Because the reason why Hui Ning can become enlightened is because he was born without the mundane mind. So when he said the mind must have no dwelling, he checked. That's why he investigated, he checked. Yeah, his mind got no dwelling. Well, he is already heedful. When you are heedful, the mind is in sati, in mindfulness. You no need to dwell anywhere. That's why he can understand the poem that Shen Xiu wrote. Shen Xiu is using the mundane mind. He has not realized the true mind, the true nature. But Shen Xiu is different from Liu Zhu, Hui Ning. That's why Hui Ning is so different. When he hear that Diamond Sutta, the mind must have no dwelling, then he say, this is beautiful. My mind got no dwelling. His mind never hold on to anything. That's why he understand the Dhamma straight away. Truth, when spoken, he understand. Then he get very interested and happy. Then this merchant told him, I learned it from the fifth patriarch. He said, can I go and visit this monk, is it? I want to learn from him, is it? He said, can, but very far in the north. Then he said, will you help me? Tell me how to go. Oh. Then this merchant actually very kind. He came to know he got a mother. He said, don't worry, I will help you. I will do everything for you. And I will help to take care of your mother too. I will give you a letter to recommend you to fifth patriarch. So that's how he has the condition to go and see the fifth patriarch, because the condition is right for him to move. So all these great beings, they no need to do anything. When the time comes, condition will unfold, things will happen, they just accord and flow. Everything will happen by itself. So this is the beauty of having your past cultivation. You will inherit all this wonderful thing. So meditation, when you understand the true mind, is so different and so easy. You don't have to walk the wrong path. Like just now I say, Yen Wang Lu, Yin Wang Lo, in Cantonese. You don't have to actually make all the wrong route, walk all the wrong path, like a maze, get lost, hit a dead wall, start again, hit another dead wall, start again. But when the understanding is there, that's why you must make the aspiration. The Buddha always advise you, the post-puja, before we go off, he always advise you to make aspiration. Invoke the power of merits. That's why you chant Ipmina punyang kamina Mame bala samagamo Satang samagamo hotu Yava nivana patiya. Do you understand what this is? You all don't understand. We have been chanting every session. You all don't have this book. The Buddhist handbook. You don't have. I think it's on page 60-something, 68, oh no, it's 69, oh 73. So this is what the Buddha advised, he said, if you don't do this path, this way is very difficult to find. You can deviate very easily. You know what is deviation or not? Let's say this distance between the earth and the sun. How far? If I'm not wrong, 93 million miles. So 93 million miles, you want to aim straight to reach the sun. Let's say you deviate by a little bit. No need 1 degree, 1 second. You know what is 1 second? One circle got 360 degrees. 1 second is 1/60 of a degree. You deviate by 1 second. A little bit. When you reach the moon, you know that arc. How far away? Very far. So the teaching, the Buddha Dharma is the same, because it's so precise, so easy to debate. You know why it's so easy to debate or not? Because you use words, understand or not? Words are subject to what? Interpretation, isn't it? When I use a word, my meaning is different from your meaning, isn't it? It's just, let's say, there's a piece of art hang on the wall. Okay. We ask each and every one of us to describe this piece of art. Everybody will describe it differently because you use words. Understand that? Let's say you are very artistic. You understand the art. Maybe like your master, Poyen Zhang Lao, he is very good at calligraphy, and he can describe it very beautifully. But you get a technical guy like me, an engineer, doesn't understand art. I look at it, I will look for technical thing inside there and describe to you. I still describe the same thing. That's why I interpret it so differently from a person who understands. Then you also different background. Maybe you like home science, cooking, or you like accounts. I was told there are some accountants here too. Or some of you may be trained in different fields. Your training will condition you to describe it the way you are trained, understand not? So your explanation of what this picture or art is based on your conditioning. So that's why when you interpret through your conditioning using word, everything is different already. That's why it's so easy to debate, understand not? Like the four number two. You go and ask, everyone will tell you a different one, unless they really understand. Then the most common one is, they are commonly made to believe. What is the first noble truth? And I tell you, you really amazed at what you receive as answer. Because I used to go around give talk. Every time I ask, do you all know what is the four noble truth? And the response is quite good. And most of them say yes. What is the first noble truth? You know what type of answer I get? Life is suffering. Almost 99.9% is every time they answer, life is suffering. Then I look at them, are you sure? Did the Buddha teach this? They only know how to tell you life is suffering. They can't even recite what the first noble truth is, the eight condition. Then when I explain, they were very surprised. That's why when you understand, it is so different. The Buddha never say life is suffering. The Buddha only explained to you that there is a noble truth that talks about dukkha, understand or not? Talk about suffering, what suffering entails. He said, the Buddha proclaimed under the first noble truth, he said, there are eight conditions in life, which are life's reality. That's why he talked about the realities of life and existence. When you go through life, go through existence, you will come to confront this eight type of reality. If you live long enough, is it? You will experience birth, old age, sickness and death. You will experience separation from loved ones and your possession, your wealth and all those things. You will encounter people whom you don't like. You will encounter situation that doesn't go your way. Understand or? When you cannot get what you want. So he said, in short, all this can summarize into one statement. It is because you cannot understand what is going on. Due to your delusion, you grasp and cling to your five aggregate of form and mind, the grasping aggregate, upadana kanda, that condition your suffering. So he said, this noble truth is like that. If you have yet to develop the wisdom, then you confront these eight conditions or realities of life and existence. Suffering will arise. This is the meaning, understand not? He never said life is suffering. Otherwise, why did he talk about enlightenment? Then why did he explain the third noble truth? Suffering need not be. Enlightenment in the here and the now is possible. Then why did he teach you there is a path? Noble Eightfold Path. If you cultivate this, it will lead to the cessation of all suffering. Means life is not suffering. Understand? That's why he says there is such a thing as happiness, enlightenment, Nibbana Paramang Sukhang. Nibbana is the highest peace or happiness. That's why there is a lot of meaning to life, a lot of joy if you understand life. But people just interpret it differently. Then not only that, you come to the Noble Eightfold Path, the path that leads to the cessation of suffering. There are 8 path factors. So easy to debate, isn't it? The first path factor is right view. Even now I ask you, what did the Buddha teach? What type of right view? You may not quite understand. You can quote to me the 3 things that I always tell you, but the detail of it, the deep meaning behind that the Buddha wants. Maybe the first one you can. The first one I have explained quite detail. But the other two, you cannot. Because the 3 right views are very powerful. It's in the Samadhitti Sutta, spoken by this Sariputta. Samadhitti Sutta mentioned the first right view is law of karma. Then the 4 noble truths, the law, dependent origination, and all those. They expand on these 3. So these 3 type of right view is so powerful, but it can be subject to so much interpretation. Understand or not? Then when you come to right thought, worse still, nobody understands what the thing is. You know what I heard from people, even the textbook. What is your understanding of right thought? Yeah? They normally quote to you the 4 Brahma Vihara state, isn't it? Metta, Karuna, Mudita, and Upekha. They only know these 4 because they believe the text and they quote direct. So what is right thought? Thought that are free of the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. When there is no greed, no hatred, no delusion, no evil, there is right thought. That's why don't try to be good. The absence of evil is good. When you are hateful and incapable of negativity, you have goodness already. When you don't have selfishness to speak harshly, to blame people, to cheat people, to deceive people, to do all those evil things, then you have right thought. But when you have selfishness and you try to do good, you ask yourself, what type of good are you doing? Good according to you, understand not? And the good according to you may not be good for others, understand not? Especially when you want your child to be good. When you try to discipline and control your own children. Boy, this cannot, that cannot. You must not do this, you must not do that. That is good for you, because you are the parent. You're scared they make mistakes, you're scared they get into trouble. You try to control them. But that boy is not free. Good to you, but bad for me. He cannot do what he wants. That he asks, my life, why you want to force me into all this? Especially the olden days, marriage, they got no say. The children, the kid got no say. Parent decide. So there are a lot of things. When you understand, then you start to become more clear about what this thing is. So right thought, right speech, right action, and right livelihood can be subject to a lot of wrong interpretation. But maybe not so damaging. Right effort also not so damaging. The most damaging one I realize is right mindfulness. Sati, haywire. The whole world, most of them don't understand what this is. Sama sati, right mindfulness. The next havoc one is sama samadhi. Now this one also a lot of deviation. The last 2 path factors so difficult to understand. That's why the teaching very easy to debate when you don't have the understanding. So now coming back to this aspiration, that's why you must make very strong determination to make this aspiration. The Buddha himself actually knew about the importance of this type of aspiration. That's why he put it down in the closing puja. He said, after you finish any spiritual session, you would have accumulated a lot of merits. The 10 marital section, most of it you would have done. Because your respect, your puja, when you bow to the Buddha, the Triple Jack, the field of merits are limitless. Then when you keep your precept, renew your precept, when you meditate, you listen to the Dhamma, you straighten your view, you do all the metta, radiating loving kindness, means generosity. Then you perform service, means you help to bring about this type of session, like sisterly, try to arrange the venue, print the short note, the recording by Andy, Sui An, and all the Kayanamita who donated to the Kayanamita Fund so that we can have this printed for free distribution and share. All this is your meritorious action, understand? Then the Buddha said, you make use of this. That's why he said, you chant, Ikmina Punyang Kamina. Punyang is your punya, your merit. By the power or by the grace of this marriage. Then, Mami Pala Sagma Samagamo. So the meaning is, by the power of this punya or merit that I have acquired, may I never follow the foolish. This one is very important. Never follow the foolish, but only the wise and the enlightened one, so that Nibbana can be realized soon as possible. If you don't make this style of aspiration, you don't know how to channel your merits, chances is you will deviate. That's why when you make this style of aspiration, through the nature's law, it will bring you back. But you must be very sincere, understand? Then you must not commit those type of negative karma that can be an obstruction to your own aspiration. Do you know what type of karmic is that? No. Breaking precept is not that serious actually. It won't block this type of aspiration. It won't block this type of aspiration. Breaking of precept is you have to reap the what they call the karmic, understand? Means karmically you reap what you sow. Whatever negative karmic you create, this one you block through what? When you, through your own delusion, when you are not sure of what the teaching is, like certain religion, they say, believe this religion, this is the true one. They go all out to convert people without they themselves understanding what this, they just believe. Then you know what happened? Because this is a karmic you cause for people to go to that religion, understand? And this is not where the truth is. So your karmic is what? You reap what you sow. So in future when you come, even when you are about to go to somewhere where the truth is, somebody will come and bring you just the way you bring others to that type of religion. That's why the Buddha knew. The Buddha knew that all this can happen. That's why he asked you to make this type of aspiration. Otherwise, very dangerous. Very dangerous. So in order to avoid karmic obstruction that will obstruct your vow, you have to have the wisdom not to simply say things or do things that you are not sure of. Understand? Unless you are very sure, never go and influence people or get people into. You see, like the Buddha said, we are Dhamma friends, Kayanamita. That's why Kayanamita means what? Friends of the Dhamma. Friends who walk the path of Dhamma. Then there is another category, friend that has the Dhamma, understand? That means the enlightened one. They are all friends. Dhamma friends, understand? Who walk the path of Dhamma, also Dhamma friend. Already have the Dhamma, also Dhamma friend. So as Dhamma friend, we are here to share, understand, our understanding, to motivate, then to maybe encourage, then at the same time engage, means through proper discussion and all those things. Means we are very sincere, because we are friends of the Dhamma, we walk the path of Dhamma, we really very sincere, like the Buddha said, we investigate, we learn together, we share, no negativity, understand, don't argue right and wrong. whatever that is useful, appropriate, we share, we take, we use. Then we motivate each other, understand or not? Then we encourage. So encourage means you say, yeah, such and such a place, there is this dhammatong, or there is this teacher. You don't go and influence them, you just say, I went there, I learned, I feel good. You find out, then we discuss. Then no harm, understand or not? You are not forcing him into something. You never make him believe, hey, this one is the right one, you go, that one don't go. Then you get into trouble. Understand? But as Dhamma friend, you just share your understanding. If you benefited, you just tell them that, yeah, this place it seems is good. Not bad. Have an open mind. Go and listen. If it's useful, use it. Not useful, like the Buddha said, open mind. Do not condemn. Do not say anything that is against the Noble Eightfold Path. Means you make sure you are heedful. No wrong thought, no wrong speech, no wrong action, and no wrong doing. As long as you have that, you are safe. Understand? No? So this part, as long as you don't gullibly believe and simply tell people the wrong thing, right? The Cantonese word is what? Don't take people to Holland, understand? Motai de Holland, then you are safe, understand? If you lead people to Holland, nobody can help you. You will be led to Holland too. Then you don't blame people. Why I like that? That's the reason why now you understand. Why did the Buddha ask you to take refuge? You know why you chant Buddhang Saranang Gacchami, Dhammang Saranang Gacchami, Sanghang Saranang Gacchami? Not enough. Repeat. Dutiyampi, again you go. Then Tatiyampi, you go. You think he got nothing to do, make life difficult for you. Because he know if you don't take refuge, you sure get lost. Holland is a sure destination. That's why the Buddha Dharma and the Sangha, they are called the triple gem. You know what is a gem? Gemstones are the most precious of all the precious stones. Understand or not? Precious stone you already know, very precious. But when you say it's a gemstone, means what? The most precious among the precious stone. Understand? That's why it is a gemstone. And the newspaper also got right. Certain gemstone, recently some minister, chief minister, they bought, it seems, for the wife, a few hundred million, one gemstone, the value. Because it's very rare, very big. So triple gem are like gemstone, understand? The most precious of the precious stone. And the Buddha under Dhammapada verse 300 something, I think he did say, there is no other refuge safe except the triple gem. Not even in the mountain or in the cave. Nothing can be a sanctuary for you. Only in the triple gem. Why did he say that? Because only the triple gem has the Buddha Dharma, understand? The truth, the teaching. That's why if you don't want to debate, you must take refuge. Then you must make aspiration to avoid the foolish. So that you always meet up with the wise and the enlightened one. So that Nibbana can be realized as soon as possible. That's why this type of puja or aspiration is very useful. So the triple gem, when you take refuge sincerely, when you chant, make sure you are not parroting, understand not? Buddhang saranang gacchami. Because 44 years ago when I started, my heart is very different. When I chant this triple gem, taking refuge, from the heart it come out. To the Buddha, I go for my refuge. Really go for refuge. I surrender my whole life to the Buddha. Because after knowing how wise he is and how beautiful his teaching is, the faith is so strong. That's why I make this refuge. To the Buddha, I go for refuge. Means wherever there is condition for me to take birth, in whatever place, whatever civilization, whatever time, if there is a Buddha, I will connect because of my refuge. Understand? If there is the Dhamma, I will connect because of my refuge. if there is the Sangha, I will connect because of your refuge. So now coming back, this is the one you never heard of. This one will make the Theravada very proud, very happy. They always complain. They say Mahayana got so many Buddhas and Bodhisattvas to help them. Yeah? Correct or not? Because they got their vow chanting all this. So Theravada, how come Sakyamuni don't know how to use all this? Sakyamuni is even more wise. He invoked the triple gem, cover everything, understand? Otherwise you only Amitabha Buddha only one, Guan Yin only one. This one triple gem cover all, understand? All the Buddhas, all the enlightened one, understand? Wherever there is the Dhamma means what? All the Bodhisattva, including all the Arya who has the Dhamma, understand? And the last one is the Sangha. Sangha means the enlightened disciple of all the Buddhas, you know, not necessarily monk. All the enlightened disciple of the Buddha. When you are enlightened, you are part of the Sangha. The renunciation is in the heart, understand? Not on the rope you wear, understand? That's why when you understand the true Sangha is different. So the Theravada is a very good one because Sakyamuni go the wisdom way. His one is very fast. That's why when he asks you to take refuge in the triple gem, you better do so. I realize a lot of people don't understand what they are doing. They say chant, chant. Take refuge. Okay, take refuge. Why you take refuge? Don't know. What is the meaning of take refuge? Don't know. You ask around, you ask yourself during the early day when you go to the temple and do all this, do you really find out why I take refuge? Why I renew my precept every day? Why I bow? Why do you do all those chanting for one? For me, if I don't know what I am doing, I don't do. I understand, then I do. It's very different. That's why everything is about understanding, wisdom. Without understanding, you don't do. Otherwise, you can get lost. You can debate very easily. So now 6 o'clock. So we can end. Sorry, today I overtook about half an hour of your time for the Heart Sutta. So maybe from next week, I'm on the notes anymore. The notes are meant for you all to read, then listen to the tape again. Because most of the things are explained already. The only thing I want to put in the notes are the new thing that maybe we haven't put in the note earlier on. So that you can have something that is tangible for you to understand. These short notes are very useful because last time when I did this Heart Sutta class, there was no recording. There was no notes. That's why that time is more for the non-human, not so much for the humans. There was no condition. At the time, I explained. I went through the whole book, this one. And now you are lucky because the condition arise. That's why you all must thank Sister Lee, Sui An, and Didel for. And all Kayanamita who donated to the Kayanamita Fund to make this possible. Then what is more important is, you see, this type of sharing is very rare, very difficult to come by. And it's not only for the humans. In fact, they also want to listen. A lot of them want to listen. And it's seldom you can find this type of teaching and understanding, not easy. Then I am willing to do it because partly my nature is like that. There was also a request. That's why I agree. That's why I share. So if there is sincere people who wants to learn and understand, the nature will share, no problem. So more important is your life. You make sure you make the right decision. Nobody can help you but yourself. The Buddha always say, no one help you but yourself. No one can and no one may. This is a very good Buddhist song, Buddhist hymn. You go and understand all this. You have to do it yourself. I cannot eat for you, understand? No? If I eat for you, you will be hungry. Understand? No? So you need to eat yourself. You need to wake up yourself. You need to build up your own karmic nature. You need to develop your own wisdom so that you can walk the path yourself, so that you can be yourself free and be a blessing to all. Okay? Okay, we will sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. I rejoice too. Yeah? Then we will do the sharing of the merits. Okay, sharing of merits with the devas. For those who have this book, you turn to page 68. You must go back and read one other thing we chant, understand not? So that you understand what you are doing here. And when you understand, through the understanding, the merits is a lot stronger, understand? Because you know what you are doing. You are not just like parroting. Okay, sharing our merits with the devas. This one is very meaningful. Akasatta chabumata devanaga mahindika punyang tang anumoditwa chirang rakantu lokasasana. May all beings inhabiting space and earth, devas and nagas of mighty power, share this merit, and may they long protect the dispensation. You know what is dispensation? The Buddha Sasana means the era where the Buddha Dharma is still around. So these are the Dharma protectors, understand not? We share with them, understand not? That's why we call them the Devas and the Nagas of mighty power. Share these merits and may they long protect the Buddha Sasana or the dispensation. The next one is Itta vata ca amehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhiya. This one, you realize the English translation got three lines only. So don't gullibly believe, understand? They miss out one line. The third line they didn't put in. So you can write down. The third line is sabbe deva anumodana anumodantu. Deva is all the devas. Sabbe is all. May all devas rejoice. The meaning is the third line you add in. May all devas rejoice. So I read to you the whole meaning. May all beings share these merits which we have all thus acquired. May all devas rejoice. This is inviting all the devas to rejoice, not only the Dhamma protector, the other devas. Because just now one is to protect the Buddha Sasana. This one is all devas, like earthbound deva, or the Latokong, everything also can come and participate. Understand? That's why you must understand why up there already sharing with the deva, down there another deva. Understand? Not? It's different. Then, may it contribute greatly to their well-being and happiness. This is for them to progress, understand? When they rejoice, we invoke the power of this merit through their rejoicing. May it contribute greatly to their well-being and happiness. Means what? When they have well-being and happiness, they protect you, understand? They look after you. That's why you have the Dhamma. Deva is everywhere to protect you. And you will know that. It's like you're very lucky. Nothing to do with luck. They really protect you. And you can know it. Everywhere they are around. It's like when you travel or you do anything, you're like very lucky one. Many, many times already. Every time I travel or go anywhere, very surprising, all the trip in fact, the weather, everything like taken care of. You don't need to do anything. Everything very perfect. And no problem. Things just happen. Then you like very amazed. It's not I say, you know. Not our group people say, you know. The one who take us around, one, the Tao Yu. Why they call Tao Yu? I don't understand. To the Hokkien, it's like sauce. Tao Yu. Tao Yu. Oh, guy. Oh, you is touring. Oh, okay. That's why the word same sound, very dangerous. So there was one case we went to Wu Tai San, and there was another one we went to Pu Tho San. You know what did the Tao Yu told us? He said, "Wow, you are so lucky." They asked her why. He said, "Do you know before you reach Shanghai, Ningpo, the SMS came because the feedback was rain like anything. You better bring raincoat, everything." So we went. We didn't bring anything. And you know what happened? When we reached Ningpo, guide, he said it has been raining for 6 days and night. Ningpo is just before Pu Tho San. Understand? No? It's like they are cleaning up the place. They rejoice. Like they know people coming. So when we landed that day, he said, first time for 6 days, non-stop raining. The day you arrive, no rain. He said. Then the weather very cooling, cloudy, no rain. He said, you're very lucky. Then we went around. There are a few monasteries very nice. There is one, the 500 Arahant inside there. Wow, that place is very nice. All the bronze one. Oh. That's why when you are in the spiritual life, you meet a lot of very, very strange things and very nice happening. Then after that, when we went to Pu Tho San, also same. The weather was so good, so beautiful. Then the Kuan Yin, there is the place they call Puken Chi Kuan Yin. The outside is not so unique or special, but as you move inside, there is a Jake Kuan Yin, the green color one. Oh, the energy there, very strong, very, very fine, very powerful, very different. When I was there, I told them, no need to go anywhere, stay here for a while. Oh, very different, very different. That place like meant to be. And a lot of things happen. So that's why when you have goodness and kindness, all these beings, they are there for you. Because you actually make them different. You share merit, you transform it. And these are real merits, understand? And they receive it. When they rejoice, they transform, understand? They receive, and they know. Up there, they know. They are not the usual one. These are the one that follow the Dhamma. Then they also hear from people like you all. Hear from, wow, that one very good. But human being different. Human being believe, a lot believe one. Crowd instinct, crowd response. They follow the crowd, When the paper put, oh, very famous from where, everything. Oh, see the title only, everybody run. Go there. But this one different. They don't see title one. They listen, they check. Then they know. Then they see people receiving. Then they come. And these are the real ones. The real devas who wants the Dhamma, who understand the Dhamma, who rejoice and protect the Dhamma. And who really wants to do something to help the world. So these are the things. Okay, we go on the next one. Transfer of merits to departed one. That's why today I want to make sure you understand what you do. So that you are not gullible. This transfer of merits to departed one, do you all understand what this is or not? This one say to departed one, departed relative. Understand or not? Means what? You think only your relative. You say, most of my relatives didn't die yet. Do you know you have been born how many times? They say almost everyone is your relative. Understand? But these are the beings that are born in the Peta Rhyme. If they happen to be trapped in the Peta Rhyme, they will receive. You know this type of chanting is for who? For Dhamma friends who try to be funny. Understand or not? That's why I always say, Dharma friends, if you got Dharma friends, you don't worry. You take birth in Peta also, you receive a lot of transfer of merit. Understand or not? That's why you can come out very fast. They just idang minati nang ho tu, you receive already. Understand or not? That is the good thing about Dharma friends. You have a lot of good friends. Understand or not? Or departed relative down there. Yeah. So when you do this, this is your karmic inheritance. So just in case certain life you get deluded, you want to play, go Holland, then you land yourself down there. This one can bring you up very fast. So, yeah. That one is you try to break the debt. The debt. You owe them money. They call 债主, 债主. No, this one is different. This one is different. No, that one you have to make repentant, 忏悔. Then you have to ask for forgiveness. Understand? Then you have to invoke the power of merits. No, you just ask for forgiveness. Whomsoever from the distant past until now, that I have whether knowingly or unknowingly deceit, cheat, steal, or misappropriate any of their wealth or money or possession, I sincerely ask for forgiveness. Then may this wholesomeness, sincerity of mind, pave the way for them to have the Buddha Dharma, so that they themselves also will be able to free. So that it will bring about the condition for this karmic negativity to be amicably resolved. So that it will not continue. Then you can invoke by the power of whatever merits or goodness that you have done. May bring about causes and conditions for your karmic debt to be repaid to them. So it can actually bring forth that condition. Because your merit is like your money. You can repay them back in kindness. So it can be done. But it's different. These are departed ones in the Peta rhyme. It's written in the Therakuda Sutta. The Therakuda Sutta inside here got talk about it. The departed one in spirit form. Okay, Vichana. Idang me nyati nang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Idang me nyati nang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Idang me nyati nang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Let this marriage accrue to all departed ones, and may they all to be well and happy always. Then we invoke the blessing for the nation. Turn to page 119. This one come about because one of the Kayanamita have a very good suggestion on my Tuesday class. He said, Brother Teo, we should go back on this, because last time Reverend Suwano always chant this during Suwano time and Chief Reverend time. The earlier one, Kesri Damananda, he always chant this. He invoked the blessing for the nation. And this is very good, because you want a righteous government. This is the one. So if you make powerful enough, this one, the government will be righteous. So I don't have to tell you what happened. The government will be righteous. So it can be the same old government, but it will be righteous. Understand? That's why we invoke the power of blessing. It doesn't mean that we Buddhists let things be, don't care. Understand? No. We do things with understanding, with wisdom. And this is a lot more powerful. Understand? Now I read, you will understand. Those who know how to chant together. Devo vasatakalena sasa sampati hitocha Fito bhavatu loko cha, Raja bhavatu dhammiko. May the rain fall in due season, May there be a rich and good harvest for all. May the world be peaceful and prosperous always. May the government of the day, the king and the ruler, be righteous. So this is the meaning. Then the last one, you make your aspiration. This one is very important. You better determine deep in your heart so that you can make this something becoming a reality. It can help you a lot. This is the aspiration, page 73. Ipmina punyang kamina mami bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu yavat nivana patiya. By the grace of this marriage that we have thus acquired, may we never follow the foolish, but only the wise and the enlightened one, until Nibbana is realized. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, pay respect to the worthy ones.
Let's thank Brother Teo by fully rebound.
Sadhu, 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 yeah. Also, I just want to let you understand one more thing, very important. You don't underestimate what you have done here. This 3 hours, I tell you, this type of wholesomeness and merits that you have developed and cultivated, money cannot buy. And even you do a lot of charity and goodness for many, many lives, you cannot have this type of merits. Because just by doing the pre-puja, the post-puja, after you have gone through all this Dhamma sharing, if you really have the understanding and the faith, I tell you, your nature is different. Your karmic and spiritual wealth grow by leaps and bounds. Because everything you do here leads to understanding, wisdom, great merits. Not only merits, great merits. All this puja that the Buddha teach you, the respect, the rejoicing, the taking of refuge, renewing of precepts, salutation to the Buddha, Dhamma and the Sangha. Later on, I will add in the salutation to the Dhamma and the Sangha. But these are also very important. You need to understand what the Dhamma is, what the Sangha is, and what the Buddha is. It may take some time, but it's good. So you have to slowly, those who have this book, you go back and read. Salutation to the Buddha is Iti peso bhagava arahang sama sambuddho Vijja charana sampanno sugato lokavido anuttaro purisa dhamma sarati satta deva manusanang buddho bhagavati. These are the 9 great virtues of the Buddha. And I have not chanted for very long, but I still remember. Because it's not memory, it's something inside, understand? Because these are the great meaning of the Buddha, his 9 great virtues. Last time when I was cultivating all this very strong inside my heart, I no need to look at book one last time. But nowadays, because recorded, sometimes people simply comment, "Ayo, like that also forgot." It's not I forgot. Sometimes this type of thing, no condition cannot come out. I don't remember thing on. That's why sometimes I can chant wrongly. Because it's not from the memory. It just come out. But then because I have this awareness and mindfulness, immediately I know, then I come back to it. Then sometimes this one help. Because with this, I cannot memorize thing. I cannot remember this. So don't ask me to memorize. That's why I still use. If can use, I use. Understand or not? Sometimes I don't need, but it's better to have. Okay? So, thank you. I rejoice. Sadhu. 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 Yeah.